It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaspardy.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Kyrie Sultan of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the gospel according to the Fallen Angel says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the ODB, One Dirty Pit. Boom!
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
You are now jacked in to the virtual matrix. Please stand by for all the latest in professional wrestling, video gaming, movies, and entertainment with Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com and the latest in video gaming with the sensational sequel.
What?
Yes, he's back. And here is your host,
the Force is strong with you. Henceforth, you shall be known as
Mister
Money on the Mic, JJ Sexy.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth.
On the morning of May 20th, 2011, one of the most beloved wrestling personalities and superstars in the business, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, unfortunately passed away while driving with his wife in his Jeep Wrangler. Randy Savage had a heart attack and collided with a tree. Tonight's going to be a very special edition of Unplugged. Tonight we're going to celebrate the life, the career of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. So please join me right now in a 10-bell salute to one of the most beloved superstars of all time, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. you know, this was not the way that I wanted to start the show out tonight. This was not the way that I wanted to do Unplugged on my return back. This was not the way that I had planned on things going. Well, I'm just going to apologize because I don't know how my composure is tonight. I have literally spent the day in mourning. And of all the wrestling deaths that we've ever had, this is the one that has hit me the most profound. I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess I do. But I never personally have ever talked to Randy Savage. I've never met Randy Savage. But of all the wrestlers who have come and gone in this industry, in this business, he is the one that I would say is my favorite of all time. Shawn Michaels is a close second. He was someone that I idolized in this business. Hell, he's the first voice I ever successfully impersonated. And I'm going to do my best tonight, guys, to not break down, to give him a fitting tribute that I feel that he deserves. Because I think he deserves a lot of things. So I just want to say that this episode is going to be much different than every other episode of Unplugged you've ever heard. You know, normally we do things, you know, pretty strict to the letter. We have a gaming segment. We talk SmackDown. We do a little news. Gaming segment's not going to happen tonight. That doesn't mean that Sean's not going to join the show. But I'm not going to talk gaming tonight. I am going to briefly run down SmackDown here in a few moments. We're going to talk a little news of the week with Krelly. After that, the rest of this show is a tribute to Randy Savage. Randall Mario Poffo. We're going to be celebrating his career, his life, and why we're fans of Randy the Macho Man Savage. I want to hear from everybody in this chat room. I want to hear from everybody that has a telephone. I don't care if it's a cell. I don't care if it's a landline. I don't care if you have to go next door and borrow your neighbor's damn phone. I want to hear from each and every person that is hearing my voice right now, tonight on this very program. And I want you to tell me specifically about what you liked about Randy Savage, what you disliked about Randy Savage, your memories, your thoughts. That's what I want tonight. That's what this show is about. Start the show off with that to let you know what's going on this program tonight. It's not the norm. If you don't like that, then you can leave now. But I'm paying my respects to someone that I very much respected in this business. Of course, you know me. I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ Sexay, and obviously you're listening to Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. Actually, let me go to the phone lines real quick. I do believe I have my partner in crime from Wrestling News Live, the Trey Dog. What's up, man?
A couple things real quick off the bat. I was in such a great mood last night. Went home and started working on the doghouse for everybody. And it was good to know that I was doing something for the people out there on the network. They wanted, they requested. I really wasn't, you know, jumping up and down to bring the show back. But because of the response and, you know, everybody asking for it, I felt like it was something that needed to be done. And then I got up this morning and my computer crashed and I lost half of it. And all this time I'm finding out from Krelly that Macho Man had passed away. And it really made the re-recording of the second half of the show take on a whole new meaning to me. It was a little different. I wasn't in the same mood. You know, it took me a little bit longer to get the show done than I wanted. It's done. But I was thinking back on memories of the Macho Man all day long. Even when I was talking about something else, I was being tugged that way. And I think, to sum it all up, as a reason to why I was such a big Macho Man fan, he was really the first guy that was anti-Hulk Hogan and stayed true to that. You know, I mean, he did not, you know, believe in the same things as Hulk Hogan. And everybody loved Hulk Hogan. I was such a rebel that I always went for the underdog and the guy that nobody pulled for and still do to this day. And I always pulled for Savage. And I'll never forget sitting at home with JSK and watching Randy Savage come out with the World Heavyweight title on his arm and cut a promo saying that he was no longer a part of the NWO and how this was a big blow to the NWO and how he was starting the new Wolfpack. And he introduced Kevin Nash as the leader of the Wolfpack. And that was just, I'll always remember that. I will always remember that. JSK's reaction, being the big Kevin Nash fan that he was, and to be able to share that moment because of something that, you know, Randy was involved in will always be burned into my brain. Another one is when he screamed, "Elizabeth, I love you," you know, and the matches he had with, you know, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You'll never forget those. You talk about a guy who made the Intercontinental title something. That guy made the Intercontinental title something. It was when he had the Intercontinental title, he was on par with any champion holding any other belt. And he made that way. Not anybody else but him. And I know this is tough on you, partner, and that's why I wanted to call in. I can, you know, it's not as rough on me, I don't think, right now as it is on a lot of people. Not to say that I'm a cold-hearted bastard, but I didn't know the guy. I liked the guy. I idolized the guy. But I can remember what it was like when I found out Dale Earnhardt died. And this is the equivalent, because this is a guy that was as much to his sport as Dale Earnhardt was to his. And the only difference is one was still active while the other one had been retired for years. Doesn't make any difference. Your passion for the person still burns. And I can remember sitting in Applebee's getting the news that you know, basically Dale Earnhardt died, and I busted out in the tears right there in the restaurant. So let me grab this phone, partner. Go ahead and take it.
All right. You know, like I said, it's been an emotional day, and this one has hit me like a ton of bricks. The closest I ever came to talking to the Macho Man Randy Savage, it's a true story, was back in 2003. I had just started off with the Voice of Wrestling radio show. It was Chris Cash, who was Chris Chisholm at that time, and my former broadcast partner in WTR, Tim Stein. And I was brought aboard as basically the professor, Jeff Jackson. I was the facts and stats guy, because I have this memory that's just excellent for details. And I think I'd only been with the show for maybe a month or two. I think I started in like September of 2003. And this was around the time that the Macho Man Randy Savage had decided to put out the rap album, which had the single Be a Man Hogan, or Be a Man Hulk. And so the Voice of Wrestling had him on the program, and I remember I was there while they were taping the show, but you had Chris, you had Tim, and Bad News Allen was on the line as well. And Chris and Tim really thought they were only going to get about like a 10 to 15-minute interview with Randy Savage, but the fact that one of his longtime friends in the business, Bad News Allen, was on the line really cemented the fact that we kept him on for about, I'd say, 30 to 35 minutes. I wanted to get on the line so bad, but they wouldn't let me because they had too many people talking at once. But I can remember wanting to try to get Macho Man ever since then on a radio show. If for no other reason, just so that I could do my impersonation of him, which, you know, I don't want to say that I'm the only one that feels this way, but I feel like my impersonation of the Macho Man is bang on. I've had people tell me that I enunciate words just like the Macho Man does. And I would have loved the opportunity to have done that impersonation to him, just to see what kind of response I would have gotten. Hopefully, it would have been a fuck you, kid. You know, what are you doing? I that's something that I always wanted to do, and I never got a chance to do it. I know earlier this year, I reached out to THQ to try to get Macho Man on one of the shows here on the network, because they had signed him, obviously, to be a part of the All-Stars video game. Unfortunately, that didn't come through, and now I'm not going to get the opportunity to mark him off the bucket list. He's one that's always kind of evaded me. And like I said, he's one of my idols. He's the guy that this is hitting me worse than I mean, I can't believe how upset I am. I knew I'd be upset, but you know, I've literally sat here and fucking had tears running down my face all day. You know, I literally spent the day trying to figure out what I was going to do with this show tonight, finding clips and music to play for this and producing stuff. It's been a very emotional day for me. And I know that in a couple of weeks we have Diamond Dallas Page on Wrestling News Live, and I can't wait to talk to him, because I'm sure he's going to have a lot of things to say about Randy Savage. I read a tweet today, and he said that Savage put him on the map, and he's grateful for that. So before we break into any more Macho Man talk, let's go ahead and get a little business out of the way. I want to get this over with. It's not going to last long, I promise. I watched SmackDown for the most part, but I couldn't get into it tonight. But I do want to run down what happened on the show tonight. So with that said, let's go ahead and break into a little bit of SmackDown talk a little news, and then let's spend the rest of this program doing what I think we should be doing, and that's paying tribute to the Macho Man Randy Savage. Start things off on SmackDown with a match between Sheamus and, of course, Christian. Christian beat Sheamus via DQ when Mark Henry interfered. Randy Orton came down to the ramp, kind of watched the double teaming of Christian, and then decided to come down on the ring and help Christian out. So he makes the save, and Christian again wins by disqualification against the former United States champion and former two-time WWE champion, Sheamus. We have a segment with Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, where apparently DiBiase is representing Corpus Christi and comes out with a bag over his head. Now, I'm not really sure what they're doing with the former members of Legacy, but it's starting to get a little interesting as, believe it or not, Ted DiBiase actually picks up a victory against Trent Barretta. Who knew?
Who?
Exactly. Trent Barretta. You don't watch Superstars, do you?
Okay. Guilty.
Next up, we have Ezekiel Jackson come out. The core follows suit. Teddy Long interrupts and makes a six-man tag match consisting of Kane, The Big Show, and Ezekiel taking on the core. And in the end, the trio of Kane, Big Show, and Ezekiel Jackson get the win. Next up, we have a Divas match. Brie Bella taking on Natalya. Pretty quick little match here. I expected to see some karma interference, but it didn't happen. At one point, Bella literally kicks Natalya in the junk. Oh, wait. She doesn't have testicles. But apparently, Bruce Hart is booking the women's division in the WWE.
I was told by a woman that wrestles, that still hurts a little bit. Now, I'm not comparing it to a man's nut shot by a stretch, I'm just saying. I've been told it hurts.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, partner, because my wife has lost
matches. I don't know how many times you kicked Harmony in the junk trying to get away, but...
You know what? I have never kicked her in the junk, but I will say that she's had matches in Stampede Wrestling when Bruce Hart was the booker where she took a nut shot and lost the match. Just saying. Mm. So, didn't really hurt her all that much. I guess win losses don't really count with a nut shot, but whatever. But anyway, we get Brie Bella getting the win. She actually hits an X Factor and pins Natalya clean. So Brie Bella goes over Natalya. Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of shitty in my opinion, but whatever.
No twin shenanigans, nothing. Clean win.
Yeah, no twin shenanigans. If you remember, the other twin got beat up by Karma on Monday, so she's not there. Next up, we have Daniel Bryan taking on Chavo Guerrero. The match lasts, I think, about 5 minutes. Sin Cara comes out, hits a Hurricane Rana on Chavo after the match. So it looks like possibly at Over the Limit, we're going to see Sin Cara and Chavo Guerrero, which they've been building to over the last couple weeks.
Do we have to?
Well, you know what? I think this is going to be a good showcase match for Sin Cara and for Chavo because, I mean, let's face it, this is the best thing they've done with Chavo in I don't know how many years. You know, that was my initial thought when they put these two together. It's, well, if you want to make Sin Cara a player, why are you putting him with Chavo Guerrero? Because you've pretty much killed him over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years.
But maybe, I didn't even know Chavo was still on the roster.
Well, they need somebody to job out, man. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Chavo is a very good luchador, a very talented wrestler, comes from a great wrestling family. If anybody's going to put Sin Cara over and make him look like $1 million, it's going to be Chavo Guerrero. Next up, we have our main event of the night. It is Randy Orton taking on Mark Henry. Much the same as the first match from tonight, we see Randy Orton beat Mark Henry by disqualification. Sheamus comes in, interferes in the match. Christian comes down to the ramp as both Henry and Sheamus are beating on Randy Orton and decides to walk down and help him out. At one point, Randy Orton hits the RKO on Mark Henry and then jumps in the air and does the splits in the air. What the hell, WWE? This is the apex predator, the Viper, and he's doing splits, jumping up in the air after hitting an RKO? I had to like rewind that to watch it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Where did this come from? So, of course, we have the stare down between Randy Orton and Christian talking about the World Heavyweight Championship and their match at Over the Limit this Sunday. So that's how we end the show. If I had to give it a grade, you know what? I'd give it an F. That wasn't that bad.
No, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
Because I busted my ass to get from my house, and I was watching a good movie at my house. I told you about on Skype. I left before the movie was even over, so I had to go home and rewatch part of it. But I left so that I could get from my house to work in plenty of time to come in, put my shit down, and get sci-fi on the TV. I wanted to see a tribute to Randy Savage before they ever did anything with SmackDown, and they didn't do a damn thing.
Well, in the WWE's defense,
it's a pre-taped show.
It is a pre-taped show.
I understand that. But it's not hard for a company with that much manpower and that much money to put something together and mail it out to all these affiliates through email, through digital download, whatever, and say, throw this up before you put on SmackDown.
You're right. I mean, it could have been done.
I've had it happen in the radio business where I've had pre-taped countdowns already ready to go, and the company send out an email saying, here, at the last minute, play this instead of the other. It can be done.
Well, I fully expect a graphic to be on Raw. I fully expect a video package or something this Sunday at Over the Limit.
I mean, I'd like to see them do an entire tribute show.
I would, too, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think he deserves one after everything
he's done.
Well,
I mean, they kind of patched things up, didn't they? I mean, Macho Man was on a Legends deal, wasn't he? He just had that new action figure come out not long ago.
Well, yeah, but he's not actually signed with the WWE. He literally signed a contract with Mattel to make the figure, and he signed on with THQ to make the game, and he was paid A pretty hefty sum for both. Right. I mean, we're talking in the millions. He made multi-millions of dollars on both of those deals. So it's not that he signed with the WWE. He just signed with those particular companies.
Now, is he still sporting gray hair and gray beard?
Yes. The last time I saw him, he had gray hair and a gray beard. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's an old man. He was 58. I mean, why bother dyeing your hair when you're that old?
Hey, motherfucker, 58 ain't old.
Well, that is true. In comparison,
you and I aren't too far away from there.
Well, I got about 30 years close to it, but
no, you don't. Not if you're older than me, you don't.
Okay, I mean,
it's nice to think that way, but
I'm not 40
I'm
yet.
I'm just saying, when I hit 40, I don't want to go, oh my God, 58. Because it's going to be right around the corner. I can remember thinking when 35 was old, and here I am, about to be 36.
True that.
Although I heard a commercial today. Or no, I'm sorry, and don't think I'm gay, but the TV just happened to be on the same channel that Oprah comes on. It wasn't like I was watching Oprah, but it was on when I came home today from running some errands. And they were doing something about some woman who'd passed away at 36 from cancer. And I thought, holy shit.
It happens, man. You know, I guess one thing that you can take away from Macho Man passing away is that he didn't die of a drug overdose.
No, didn't die from alcohol abuse.
No. He died just driving down the road, and he had a heart attack. You know, I mean,
I talked about that a little bit in the doghouse, about how, you know, we're losing these wrestlers, and why are we losing these wrestlers? Well, you know, it's just like in the NFL. Once they retire, the money's gone. And a lot of these guys aren't too overly super smart with their money, unfortunately. Not many of these guys are, you know, Einsteins. You know, they are what they are. But a lot of them aren't smart with their money. And then when retirement comes, boom, they're broke. They don't know anything but wrestling. So they continue to do indie shows, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And to get through that, they have to pop pills and take, you know, pain pills and drink booze and whatever they have to do to ease the pain because their body just can't take it no more. But that's all they know. And they got to do that to put a roof over their head and something in their stomach.
Right.
That's where we lose these guys.
I'm looking in the chat room, and Mace says, $20 says the media will say the heart attack was caused by years of steroid abuse in the 80s. Well, that's...
If the shoe fits.
You know what? That's going to be a true statement, Mace. I mean, the autopsy is tomorrow for Randy Savage. They're going to find out what caused the heart attack. And he's openly admitted in the past that he's taken steroids. I remember, and I don't have the clip, but I remember him coming out on the Arsenio Hall show back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was early 90s, like when the steroid scandal was going on. And he admitted to Arsenio Hall on the air that he had taken steroids. And this was back when he was, you know, not as buff as he was in the 80s when he was, you know, wearing the freaky looking outfits with the fringe. Obviously,
it's so amazing how steroids have changed, too, because I'm watching a animated movie this afternoon, a Superman animated movie for kids. And a woman walks in on Lex Luthor and she says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm shooting steroids." And he's putting steroids in his arm. And I'm like, "This is a show for kids. Holy shit." You know?
I mean, let's face the fact. Let's look at a lot of the wrestlers that have passed away over the years. You know, guys like Eddie Guerrero, who also died of an apparent heart attack while brushing his teeth. You know, when they did the autopsy on him, he had an enlarged heart. A lot of these wrestlers that pass away from taking steroids die of, you know, enlarged organs. And I think that's what the autopsy is going to show tomorrow, is that his heart was enlarged. Now, I'm not saying he took steroids any time in the recent, you know, period of life. I know that when he came back from his injury in 2000, he was built like a brick shithouse in WCW. You can't tell me he wasn't taking steroids then. I mean, just go back and watch Spider-Man when he was Bonesaw McGraw. I'm sure he was on the roids then.
Can you honestly name me a wrestler that hasn't done steroids?
Well, if somebody says John Cena, you're full of shit because he's on roids too. No doubt in my mind.
Well, I don't think he's on them now.
He has been. He's been a fucking weightlifter.
Well, yeah, but he was also a professional weightlifter. They test that shit harder than wrestling does.
Yeah, he looks a little too veiny not to be on steroids.
I'm just saying, I've got a buddy who's a professional weightlifter, and I call him gay all the time because he's always posing and looking at himself. But he's a big guy, and there's like he has a list of things that he's not allowed to touch because they'll flag him at a competition. You know, it's even down to foods. You know, it's ridiculous.
Right. Well, if Cena's on him, trust me, you'll never find him because he's so entrenched in the WWE that they would protect him. You know, McMahon takes steroids.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't, you know, who gives a shit what he does?
That's true. But
I'm not getting, you know, in depth, and I don't want to break this down into a big, deep thing, but I still, find me one professional wrestler who hasn't put a needle in him at least once.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tell you what.
At least once.
I would agree with that. Let's go ahead and bring on the official news source for the program, headlocks2headlines.com. You know him as the fucking foreign kid. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Kelly. What's going on, man?
Well, you bring up the whole use of steroids and the WWE health policy. And this brings up a recent story regarding Road Warrior Animal. He was scheduled to guest host a house show in Canada in a few weeks' time. And in an interview conducted just before Mania, he basically said that the WWE's drug policy was not as solid as people thought, and that even if people had done drugs, there's no way to find them. And this led to him being removed from the host of the show because the interview was just released. So you got legends even saying that people in WWE right now could be on steroids and we'd never know. So it's kind of and the WWE kind of getting rid of him shows that he must have hit a nerve, because it's not like you would really want to remove a Hall of Famer from a house show for a comment unless there was some truth behind it, right?
Well, you would think. I mean, obviously he said something that, you know, struck a few nerves. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, certain people are on him and certain people aren't on him. I don't know, because I'm not privy to what they do in their personal lives, but I can look at people and pretty much guarantee you that they're either on steroids or they just came off a cycle. It's not hard to figure out.
Well, here's a quote that he said. He said, let's be totally honest here. Look at the guys that are in the WWE. If anyone thinks that everyone there is 100% clean, they must be smoking something. I know they got drug tests and they do test people and people get suspended. But do you really believe that everyone gets drug tested on the same level? And that's the comment that led to him being removed from that role at a house show. And you know what? As a fan, it's quite hard to not to believe it.
Other than Jeff Hardy, who had already had a long history of drug-related problems in the WWE, give me the name of the Hall of Famer we've lost for any length of time due to suspension. Or a main eventer, rather. I can't think of any.
Yeah, there's no... I know people were saying that WWE used a injury angle to cover up that Dave Bautista got suspended because he was out for exactly 60 days due to that injury that he suffered just after winning the World Title. Rey Mysterio, possibly. But then he got found innocent because he proved that he had a prescription. Autumn was never suspended, was he, JJ? I think Autumn was suspended because he smashed up a hotel, but never for drugs.
Yeah.
Morrison
was suspended for steroid use. Obviously, D.H. Smith was suspended for steroid use.
The last person to be found guilty of violating the WWE's steroid policy was actually Dolph Ziggler back in 2008. So it's been 3 years of everyone being clean. Okay, out for what you will. Now, last week we praised WWE for putting Pierce Hayes with Tyson Kidd. Well, it appears that is now already over.
Wow.
On Superstars, Pierce Hayes turned on Kidd after a match and basically beat him up after the match. So after 1 week.
Well, they've obviously got somebody that they're going to bring in to feud with him. Wow. I didn't watch Superstars this week, but damn.
Yeah, well, according to the Wrestling Observer, there were plans for Pierce Hayes to manage other superstars before Kidd. So I'm guessing they just find someone. I mean, if you look on the SmackDown roster, who would you put Pierce Hayes with? Who could do with a mouthpiece?
Well, I think I mentioned this last week. You could put a guy like Tyler Rex in there.
Yeah, because Rex is kind of a guy that's lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, DiBiase might be one.
Now, I think they're going to reform Legacy.
Possibly.
Him and Cody Rhodes. Now, speaking of getting lost in the shuffle, Paul Heyman went on a mass rant towards WWE about the use of CM Punk. He tweeted, "I'm sure he'll get heat for this, but CM Punk is still the most underused talent within the WWE, and my apologies to CM Punk if he gets heat. But come on already. CM Punk is the best heel in the business. Wake the fuck up, WWE. It amazes me, and not in a good way, that WWE does not see how CM Punk brings out the best in each opponent." And CM Punk responded, "Oh, you know me, Paul. I don't like heat. It just keeps me warm." And Austin retweeted, "I agree."
Oh, so, of course. Well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out CM Punk is an asset to that roster, an asset to Raw, and he's not utilized the proper way. You know, he should be one of the top draws, you know, in the company. And right now he's just kind of, you know, toeing the line in a tag team match against Big Show and Kane for the tag titles. Rather than go after a singles title or be a big deal, he's just kind of stuck in the mix. And it's unfair because, again, Punk should be one of the top guys. He's earned that spot.
Well, take this for what you will, but they've already put the CM Punk Nexus t-shirt on clearance sale.
Well, good. Hopefully that's over with.
What was that? Now, as reported a few days ago, WWE is now requiring their talent to buy their own health insurance. And this has kind of got a bit of wrath from the IWC, saying that WWE should be paying for the talent's health insurance. Now, do you think WWE should give the talent health insurance, or do you think the talent should be buying their own health insurance?
I think the company should be facilitating the health insurance. I mean, look, here's the thing. You consider these guys independent contractors. They go out and bust their ass, you know, break their back, break their neck. Their blood, sweat, and tears is, you know, in the ring half the time. And to make it sound, I mean, these are the guys that make the company money. On the backs of the athletes, the superstars, they make their money. So why can't the company pay for the health insurance? I don't understand that. I think it's kind of shitty, but, you know, I'm not running the company. It's the way they want to do things. I still think they need a wrestler's union. Jesse Ventura was right on the mark about that.
I know there's been a few wrestlers saying that because right now wrestlers are quite scared to get injured or take time off because, A, they lose a spot, B, they lose money.
Yeah, so, I think Trey made it very clear on the premiere episode of The Doghouse that, you know, the guy that cleans up the blood, sweat, and tears in the ring, the janitor, who actually is employed by the WWE, has health insurance by the company, but the guy who busted his ass and made you pay to come watch the show is not getting his health insurance taken care of when he works for the company. It just boggles the mind. Independent contractors. Union needs to happen so bad.
Now, last week we brought up that WWE had changed bragging rights to Uprising. Now, once again, this has been changed. The name for the October 23rd pay-per-view is now The Returning Vengeance.
We don't, you know what? We don't need this pay-per-view. You don't. We're going to have three pay-per-views in the span of 6 weeks. Yeah. One every 2 weeks. Can you not just eliminate one? We don't need three in a six-week period. It's ridiculous.
This is one thing that people should praise TNA for. TNA do not have a pay-per-view every 2 weeks. They have one once a month.
Well, they shouldn't even have one once a month, but that's another story for another time.
But by, like, how can you build up a story in 2 weeks to make us pay $60 for a pay-per-view?
Well,
you can't.
You can't. And the buy rates will suffer, but people will still buy them for the most part, or they'll watch them on the stream, so it doesn't matter. You're still going to see the pay-per-view one way or the other.
Now, I got one bit of WWE last news before going to TNA. Apparently, WWE will be bringing up AJ Lee and Maxine to the main roster. AJ Lee actually wrestled the Dark Show for this week's SmackDown tapings. I'm not sure about you, but I think AJ Lee will be a fantastic babyface when she debuts.
We'll have to see.
She was awesome on NXT. But it's weird because down in FCW, she's been a heel. which is a bit bizarre. Right. Now, let's go to TNA. Now, you bring up buy rates, and the two biggest selling pay-per-views for TNA last year were Bound for Glory, which got 5,000 buys, and the ECW EV2 pay-per-view that got 20,000 buys. The other pay-per-views range between 8,000 and 15,000 buys. So that's not too good on the front of pay-per-view buys. Now, apparently, TNA have fired Terry Taylor, who was their talent relations guy. Apparently, he will be replaced by former WWE executive Bruce Pritchard. Terry Taylor has been in TNA since 2003.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard, for those of you that don't know, is Brother Love, formerly of the WWE.
And he was considered a right-hand man to Vince McMahon. And apparently, there's a lot of hate towards him backstage because people are thinking that he will take what... Like, and I don't get this right. Surely, because he was Vince McMahon's right-hand man, he learned lots of shit from Vince McMahon that he can use. Like, not in fact in the way of storylines, but in the fact of business.
That's funny, because Vince Russo made that same pitch.
So we now got two former WWE guys in charge of TNA. Great. What else do we have? Apparently, there are no current plans for China within TNA, which is a bit surprising because I thought she looked fantastic.
Who knew? Who knew that after making a big deal out of bringing both Chris Harris and China back to the company, that at the Impact tapings, neither one of them were seen from?
It's a bit bizarre. I mean, like I said, China looked in fantastic shape. She hit a fantastic pedigree, and now they're like, you know what? We have no idea what to do about. Bit bizarre. Now, here's my last bit of TNA news. Apparently, Mick Foley was not the original choice for the role of the network consultant. It is said that the company's officials had reached out to a 90s star to be the network role, but could not agree terms. And apparently, this star was not Bill Goldberg. So it would have been interesting to see who they had got in. I mean, who do you think they could have got in that could have been a cool representative for the network?
Well, I was under the impression it was Bill Goldberg.
No, it wasn't Goldberg, according to the Big Four Weekly.
Well, I read a story that said it was Goldberg, and he turned him down.
Yeah.
I don't know who this other person is, but who do you have?
Well, no, I didn't. Figure Four Weekly didn't really say who it was. They just said that it was not Bill Goldberg. I don't know. Now, of course, the main story of today
maybe
is
it was Glacier.
Pardon?
Maybe it was Glacier. Yeah, it was Glacier, yeah. Probably. Because he was a big star. He would have been a good addition to the network.
Cool. Now, as we know, the biggest story of today was the passing of Macho Man Randy Savage, and both WWE and TNA have released press releases regarding the death. WWE released, WWE is saddened to hear the passing of one of the greatest superstars of all time, Randy Poffo, a.k.a. Randy the Macho Man Savage. Poffo was under contract from 1985 to 1993 and held both the WWE Intercontinental and WWE title. Our sincerest condolences go out to his family. We wish a speedy recovery to his wife. Poffo will be greatly missed by WWE and his fans. TNA released the following. Savage was one of the... TNA joins the entire wrestling world in mourning the passing of the legendary Macho Man Randy Savage. Savage was one of the most talented athletes to ever compete inside a wrestling ring. He truly transformed...
Transcended?
Yeah, professional wrestling, becoming one of the true icons in our sports. Millions of fans grew up watching Savage's battles with other legends such as Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Steamboat. Savage appeared in TNA during the 2004 Victory Road and Turning Point, memorable moments that fans will never forget. TNA hopes that all our fans remember the amazing life and career of Randy Savage and how he shaped sports entertainment, also how he shaped sports today. So that's two very cool press releases from TNA and WWE.
Now, I will say this. Upon reading the WWE press release, it kind of interested me that they would say that he worked for the company from 1985 to 93 under contract, correct? That was what they said? 85 to 93.
Yes.
So I'm going to assume that from 93 to 94, he was not under contract because he didn't leave the company until 1994.
Unless he was an independent contractor.
Well, I guess, because I seem to remember him having a match at WrestleMania 10 with Crush. I seem to remember him getting squashed by Yokozuna in 1994, and then him leaving later on in the year in 1994 when they kind of phased him out and made him a commentator. So all this butthurt that I've always heard about Vince, that Randy Savage called him in the middle of the night and said, hey, I'm going to WCW. If I'm going by what the company line is towing, that he was released in 1993 or he didn't have a contract until 1993, then why all the butthurt when he left in 94? That's what I don't understand. I wish somebody would explain that to me. I would love to get Vince's take on that. Was that a typo? Did they fuck up?
Well, you know, it was about, 8 hours ago that WWE published that, so usually they're pretty quick at their typos, so who knows? But here's a real question, and people will be asking all the way on Twitter, will he be in the Hall of Fame next year?
I don't think next year, but you know they are going to have WrestleMania in 2012 in Tampa, and I think that you would have to have Randy the Macho Man Savage inducted there because his family lives there. It would be the opportune time to do it. He has to be inducted. I mean, I wanted for so long to see Vince McMahon and Randy Savage reconcile. I wanted to see Randy Savage a part of his DVD where he could have done commentary, where it could have been a thing rather than just all of his matches. I bought it the day it came out, and the only thing that disappointed me was that he wasn't on the disc to talk about stuff. It was just mass-produced matches. It was Matt Stryker and Maria, yes.
Yeah, that made no sense.
It did make sense from a standpoint because Matt Stryker idolized the Macho Man. Big fan of the
Maria.
Macho Man. So to have him on there was cool. And I thought he and Maria were kind of dorky and funny at the same time, but you know, I thought they did a decent tribute to him in the DVD. I just would have liked to have seen Savage be a part of the DVD, much like they did with Bret Hart when they reconciled with Bret and he was a part of the DVD. I would have liked to have seen him inducted into the Hall of Fame while he was still alive. But unfortunately now we're going to get it, you know, after his death. And you know, it cheapens his Hall of Fame. But, you know, the fact that he's going to get recognized eventually and put in there, he deserves to be there. Jim Ross said in a statement today on Twitter that Savage, it could be considered two out of three of the guys in this business that helped build the WWE. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. When you go back and you watch footage of the Macho Man, Hogan might have been the guy that brought you to the dance. He might have been the allure. He might have been the big fan favorite, the attraction. You know, Hulkamania was running wild. But you go back and you look at the promos and you look at the in-ring work and you look at the body of things that the Macho Man Randy Savage did in his career, and that guy was the workhorse. He was the thoroughbred. He was the one that got things done in the ring. He was the reason you stayed to watch. Trey brought it up earlier. He solidified what the Intercontinental Championship was. It was that next step to the World Championship. And guys like the Macho Man Randy Savage made that belt seem important.
But do you think the fans would get pissed off if he's not in this year's Hall of Fame? Because we know the fans went instant like.
You know what? I'm sure that people will say, oh, Macho Man's getting dissed again. But it makes more sense to do it in 2012 when they're in Tampa.
Just like Edge, people are crying for Edge to be in the Hall of Fame. Just wait until they're back in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, if Edge gets put in the Hall of Fame this next year, I'm going to be kind of mad. It'd be like, what? It's kind of stupid, but
but
I don't know. We'll see where it goes, man.
You're right. Because I'm not as old as you guys. I'm a younger fan, so I didn't get to see Macho Man in his prime. I mean, of course I've got DVDs. Of course I've got YouTube show that. But if someone said to me, Chris, what in your mind, what built the WWE? I'll say Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, and Steamboat. Even though he wasn't around in the last 10, 15 years on TV, he is still someone that if you ask most younger fans, like not like the current product. But if you ask people who are like 2021, who built the WWF, he would be definitely up there because he was a true wrestler. He was a true talent. He was a true performer. He was an entertainer.
He was the guy that you could call a total package. He was solid in the ring. He had one of the greatest characters of all time. He was a character. I mean, you cannot put the emphasis on this. He was a character. Nobody has ever been the type of character that Randy Savage was.
And I think it's a shame that, like you say, that him and Vince never made up because I would have loved to see him on the announce table. That would have been crazy, like him just owning Muscle Cup.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty much all the news we have, right?
Yes, correct.
Tell you what, I want to play a promo for you guys, and we're going to go right into commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to start opening the phone lines, and I want you guys to start calling in, giving your thoughts on the career, the life of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. I want to hear what you guys think, how you felt today when you heard the news. For me personally, this is how my day went. I woke up this morning, I took my wife to work, and the minute I got home, I saw this message from some kid named Chris Kelly on Skype saying, "Oh my God, did you hear about the Macho Man?" And then my wife sends me a message on Skype and says, "The Macho Man passed away." Then I checked a couple of news sites and got it verified. And I literally have been in shock and awe, and I've been very upset all day. Because, again, he's my idol. He was someone I looked up to as a kid. And he was my favorite personality ever in the WWF/WWE, even WCW. The Macho Man, so many things that he's done in his career. So many different gimmicks, so many different characters. So many matches with some of the biggest superstars. Guys that he helped out. You know, Shawn Michaels had a couple tweets talking about how, you know, he offered advice to him. One time he wanted to leave the WWE, and he told Shawn Michaels not to leave, not to take himself out of the game, because if you take yourself out, you're not in the game anymore. I mean, just so many people that he's touched. So many people. You mentioned the name Macho Man Randy Savage, and people know who you're talking about. Dusty Rhodes had something to say about it. And no, I'm not going to do the Dusty impression, so don't ask. But he was actually talking about there's five or six guys in this business, you know, consisting of him, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Macho Man Randy Savage. When you hear their names, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you know who they are. Because they've crossed over. They're not just fake professional wrestlers. You know who they are. So we're going to come back and we're going to spend the rest of the show, guys, celebrating the life, the career of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. So with that being said, I'm going to play you guys a promo, take us out of commercial break, and we'll be back in just a little bit because I want to hear your thoughts, what you think of the life of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Guys, we'll be right back with this more on Unplugged tonight.
In over the many, many years that I've covered professional wrestling, I have seen a lot of changes. A lot of changes in this great sport. And a lot of changes in a number of individuals in professional wrestling. In the World Wrestling Federation, here is a man that has not only turned it around 180 degrees...
180 degrees!
But he's gone another 360, and
another
then...
360!
And then another 180. Macho Man Randy Savage, you have changed over the past couple of months like I can not believe, sir.
I'm a chameleon, yeah.
Chameleon?
Yeah. I'm talking about the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on. In the video scope, yeah, I am looking right into you right now. Macho Madness right now. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. Macho Madness is on a roll and it can't be stopped. No, Elizabeth understands what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Why is it, Macho Man, when I sit and talk to you, stand and talk to you for that matter, that I think of old Sonny and Cher hits? Why is that?
Unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place, Mean Gene Okerlund. Go down that lonesome highway. Yeah. But don't be hypnotized. No. Reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate and you can telepathy. Yeah.
But the beat goes on.
But the beat goes on.
That beat in particular has got to include... maybe the honky-tonk man, the intercontinental champion of the world. I know you're not getting along real well with members of the Bobby Heenan family, Macho Man. Not at all.
Let me tell you something right now. Talking about the greatest intercontinental champion that ever lived, the honky-tonk man is out of line. Yeah, because I am the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion that ever lived, and I am the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived, and I'm living now, yeah, right now.
You know, he makes no bones about making the proclamation that he is. I'm talking about the honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
He says I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can make romance. Yeah, right there, the fork in the road. I said go right. Elizabeth said go left. I went right. And then I understand what the situation was. I went over that one bridge, yeah. And then when I crossed that bridge, I found out that I was on the right side. And I said, Elizabeth, follow me, yeah, because I'm going straight to the top. The stars, yeah, the stars. One shining star in the night, shining brighter than all the other ones. And I'm talking light years away, yeah.
You're talking Macho Madness.
Macho Madness, yeah. Macho Madness rolling, yeah. You thought so, but I know so. And Macho Madness is coming straight at you, Honky Tonk Man. And a light, yeah, because I'm on a roll and I ain't stopping, yeah. Elizabeth, go right and I'm going left.
Can I ask a question, Macho Man?
No more questions.
I'm sorry about that. Macho Man Randy Savage.
What's up? This is Lauren Mayhew, and you are listening to JJ Sex Day on SNS Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and of course some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
G'day ladies and gentlemen, Nemesis here, and you're listening to SundayNightShowdown.com. Although while you're listening to the quality programming here on SundayNightShowdown.com, why not send in your comments, suggestions, and valuable wrestling opinions to WhatWouldFansDo, WWFD@ymail.com. Your chance, your say, your show. Come join myself, the Nemesis, along with the mastermind, Mr. Zodiac, and the only Hispanic gold medalist in the history of Sunday Night Showdown, Mr. El Diablo Ramirez. So come and join us. every Saturday, archived right here on SundayNightShowdown.com. What would fans do? WWFD, where common sense prevails. Oh, well, most of the time it will, I think.
Sometimes a simple touch can get you in the mood. And when the moment is right, you want to enjoy good entertainment. Unfortunately, a serious condition called LOE, lack of entertainment, may cause drowsiness, boredom, or ED. Thankfully, there's
WWE Over the Limit, the most stimulating event on TV, live Sunday, May 22nd, only on pay-per-view.
If your excitement lasts more than 4 hours, see a physician.
The Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, ooh yeah! Get down!
All right, guys, we're back right here on Unplugged on a very emotional, special night. Of course, if you don't know the date, it's May 20th, 2011. Today we found out that the Macho Man Randy Savage unfortunately died of a heart attack, had a car accident. He is no longer with us, and we're all very upset over this. And here momentarily, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines, as I'm still having issues talking today. We're going to open up the phone lines here momentarily, and I want to hear from you guys on your memories, your thoughts. Anything related to the Macho Man Randy Savage is the rest of the show. It's what I'm dedicating it. In that last commercial break, I decided to throw in an old promo from the WWF when Randy Savage was talking about how important the Intercontinental Championship was, how he was the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And he's the one that put that title on the map. Trey said it very eloquently, and I completely agree with that statement. And then prior to coming back on the air during the break, you heard a song called Speaking from the Heart, which came off the WrestleMania album in 1993. An album, mind you, that had songs by Bret the Hitman Hart. I think Hacksaw Jim Duggan had a song. The Nasty Boys had a song on the album. The song Slam Jam, which the WWE used for a long time for Linda McMahon as her theme, is on that particular album. And the fascinating thing about this particular album, WrestleMania in 93, is that it was produced and done by none other than the man who made American Idol a household name. I'm talking about Simon Cowell. So, yes, Simon Cowell at one point in time did have a working relationship with World Wrestling Entertainment, and I guess we saw where Randy Savage decided later on in his career that he could have a rap career based on Speaking from the Heart. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps, sexy. And joining me on the phone lines, of course, I have my partner in crime from Wrestling News Live, the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog. We also have the fucking foreign kid, Chris Kelly, who's still on the line. And I believe joining me right now is the host of the gaming segment, which unfortunately we're not doing. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the sensational sequel. You know him as Sean. What's up, man?
How's it going, guys? It's definitely a different day. I mean, I woke up, was in a good mood all morning, was like, okay, let's get through this day. And about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock rolled around, I started getting texts. I'm kind of like, what's going on? And people were saying, hey, there's big news and all this. And I'm kind of like, I don't believe you. This is just rumor. This is just crap. And finally, I get to a computer at work. I log up on the headlocks.headlines.com, and I'm like, there's the headline. I was like, okay, is this really true? So I jump on the another website to check it out, and I was like, okay, they've got the story too. And then Yahoo posts the whole story, and I'm kind of like, wow, this is just absolutely horrendous. This kills my day. I mean, I was having a great day. I was joking around about the supposed rapture tomorrow. I mean, and then this news hits, and I'm kind of like, this just blows. This is just kills my day. And, I mean, I get home, and me and you talk for a minute, JJ. We discuss what's going to go happen tonight. And I was completely down with you killing the gaming section for tonight, because tonight is all about remembrance. It's all about the memory of one of the greatest men to step between those ropes and into that squared circle, one of the greatest high flyers in the WWF, WCW, TNA, WWE, whatever you want to name it. He was one of the best no matter what. And it just blows me away that he's gone, yet these other guys who are still standing are still standing.
Let me jump in here for a second. You know, it's weird to use technology at times like this. You know, you go on YouTube, and you go on Ustream, and you go on, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and everybody's got their comments, and it's, I guess it's kind of cool to be able, in a time like today, when somebody passes like Randy, you know, you could go on Twitter and find out what other people of his stature and colleagues of his have to say. And I'm looking through some of these now, and one of them that really stood out to me was from Kevin Nash. And he says, I lost a close friend today. If anybody in heaven is wondering who the cat in the ugly cowboy hat is, it's Randy. Love you, brother. Never another.
Definitely a classic tweet from Kevin Nash. And those cowboy hats, man, Those definitely bring back memories also.
You know, that was the good thing about Randy Savage. He liked to reinvent his character every so often. I mean, when he started things off in the WWE, you know, he had the robe, you know, he had the sunglasses and the short tights that were different colors, like, you know, pink and purple and orange and yellow. And then later on in his career, he started wearing the tassels. You know, then later on, he was a part of the NWO, where he changed his look yet again. You know, and then in 2000, when he came back from injury, he changed his look again. He was a much more buffer version of the Macho Man.
A full head of hair.
Yeah. He had a new girlfriend named Gorgeous George. You know, and hell, even, what was her name? Molly Holly was in his entourage as Miss Madness 2000.
I mean, I can't think of any better way to say it, and I would love for this to be said as people were talking about me when I go, but the Macho Man fucked some hot pussy.
Classy, Trey, classy.
I mean, that dude got his freak on with some hot chicks. And if he did nothing else in life, the guy should be a poster on every college kid's dorm room from Rhode Island to Mexico University. Because the man screwed more hot women than any one man ever in the history of time. The Macho Man.
JJ, mark the tape. That's going on the best of. Sure.
I think at Macho Man's funeral, they should play a remix of Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. Because that dude definitely did it his way.
Yes, he did. He did. And, you know, I'm sure that he has regrets. I'm sure he would have done things differently if given the opportunity. But I'd like to think that you're right. He did do things his way. And he's going to be remembered. The legacy of the Macho Man, he will always be remembered as one of the greatest of all time inside the squared circle.
I can remember my dad, and we've all got a reason why we watch wrestling. Every one of us, whether the sound of my voice or the sound of this unplugged show, every one of you, be it a live listener, be it an archive listener, maybe you don't even listen to this show and you stumble upon it 10 years from now and listen, every one of us was brought into wrestling some way, somehow, and usually by an older person, like an adult, a grandparent, something like that. And mine was my dad. And I can remember watching WWF on Sundays when my mom and my little brother and sister would go to church. Dad and I would go to the church of the WWF. And we would sit there and watch wrestling. And I would remember it was the first time ever that I heard my dad comment on the looks of another woman. And every time he saw Miss Elizabeth, he would go, "Oh my God, that is one good looking woman right there. Don't tell your mom." And he would go on and on about how hot she was and how beautiful she was. And I almost got to the point when I got older, and I think that's the only reason why he watched wrestling. And then as I got older and became a big fan and the NWO was going on, and I tried to get my dad back into it. I said, "Hey, dude, here's what's going on. You know, Macho Man, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "Macho Man still wrestling? Yep, that's him right there. Oh, my God, he looks great. There's Miss Elizabeth. Oh, where? You know, and that was when Diamond Dallas Page was coming out with Kimberly, and he was like, "Oh, who's that? Oh, my God." And I was like, "Well, that's his wife," and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, "Good God Almighty." You know, but he would still go, "That Miss Elizabeth, boy, she's something else." And if you ask him today, because he doesn't know Miss Elizabeth's gone, he doesn't know. You ask him today, he'll still say, "Oh, that Miss Elizabeth, boy, she's, woo, number one on my list."
I hear that. You know, I remember I followed wrestling, I guess. I guess I got started with wrestling in, like, as far as WWE is concerned, I think I started in like 83. But I can remember, you know, watching the early stuff with Macho Man, you know, obviously for the Intercontinental Championship. And I can remember Hogan, you know, running roughshod over guys like Bundy and Paul Orndorff. I was a huge Hulkamaniac as a kid, you know, loved Hulk Hogan. What kid didn't growing up in the 80s? I mean, you know, this is a guy that would tell you to, you know, say your prayers, take your vitamins, you know, what better role model did you have growing up in the 80s than Hulk Hogan? You know, then you had guys like Mr. T that were on screen with Hulk Hogan doing different things. And I can remember, I didn't watch WrestleMania 4 live. I think I caught it a couple months later. Whenever it came out on videotape is when I went to the video store and rented WrestleMania 4. The big thing going into WrestleMania 4 was that the championship had been vacated because Andre the Giant beat Hulk Hogan for the title. And then he gave the title to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, who bought the title, the WWE Championship, the WWF Championship, from Andre the Giant. And, of course, right. The title was vacated because you can't win the championship that way. Jack Tunney took the title away and then put it up in the tournament at WrestleMania 4. Now, during this tournament, Hulk Hogan had a match with Andre the Giant, to which both men were disqualified, and neither one advanced in the tournament. So when you got to the finals, it came down to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And I have an audio clip that I want to play for you guys, the last minute or so of that match between the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Ted DiBiase.
He thought he could end it quick. Maybe that's what he has to do. He may not have enough in him. DiBiase going for the sleeper hold.
There it is. He's got it on. But right near the ropes is the Macho Man. Oh, look out. Here comes the Hulkster.
Oh.
Oh, he clobbered him in. Dollar Man. Down he went. The referee did not see it.
That's terrible, Monsu. I can't believe Hogan would stoop to that level.
DiBiase is out cold. Savage looking around, doesn't know. Now he's going to the outside.
I cannot believe Hogan would stoop to that. Oh!
A flying elbow! Hooks the leg! It's over! We have a new champion! It's Bedlam here! It's pandemonium!
A taken victory, though! Monsu!
I can remember watching that and Randy Savage holding the belt up high because he was so proud that he won the belt. Hogan was there, and most importantly, Miss Elizabeth was there. And he hoisted her up on his shoulders, and she had the belt in her arms. And it was a great moment for the Macho Man, who had just turned face, to be the champion. I remember that like it was yesterday.
All that sounds so good. Even just to hear it and visualize it inside your head. But with everything involved in that, Macho Man winning, Ted DiBiase losing, Hogan getting involved, Monsoon and the body on commentary, and Howard Finkel selling his ass off at the ring announcement. Man, that's poetry right there. That's just the best it ever was. I mean, that was that group of voices was the best it ever was, the best it'll ever be.
I agree. With that said, guys, with that clip, I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines. If you guys want to call in and give us your thoughts, you know, any of your favorite moments by the Macho Man, Randy Savage, you know, things that stood out in his career that maybe made you a wrestling fan, I want to know about it. Of course, you can reach me at 501-588-7957 or just call me on Sunday Night Showdown through your Skype. And, of course, if you're in the chat, there is a Google Voice that you can call. That's a toll-free call. Just follow the directions and you'll be connected directly to the program. With that said, let's go ahead and jump into the phone calls. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
What it is, my friends.
It is the original fucking foreign kid of Wrestling News Live.
Mice!
Mice!
What up, my brothers?
What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Well, you going over the whole thing of, you know, what was your memory of sort of finding out the news of Macho Man, and I don't know if you can actually hear it in the background, but I've got the Randy Savage collection going, have done since this morning. Like, most of you guys would be, like, in the middle of your evening or something, and you find out. try waking up to this news. Try being half asleep, looking at your mobile or your cell phone and seeing Macho Man Randy Savage has passed away. That wakes you up in a hurry. I tell you what, I went from being half asleep to fully awake in a quarter of a second, man.
Well, I mean, it was kind of the same thing for me. I fell asleep with my laptop next to me last night, and I just happened to be grabbing a cigarette and rolled over and bumped my mouse, and I guess it signified that I was online, and Crowley shot me a message as soon as I got up this morning. It was, boom, did you hear about Macho Man? I was like, no. You know, he told me all about it. I was awake then.
Yeah. And, yeah, I jump on Skype trying to, you know, get a hold of the WTR crew. Next thing I know, I get a phone call from Spug. First words out of his mouth were, stop me from crying, dude. I'm like, nah, not going to happen, man. So I tell you, this is something that's affecting deeply all wrestling fans, no matter where you are.
And it's sad because the guy was around for so long not doing really anything. I mean, here we all are upset. You know, I know that some of us are more upset than others. Like, JJ's really taking it hard because this was one of his idols. You know, but... And it's weird because the guy was around just not doing anything. And we all just expected it to be, okay, no big deal, he'll be here tomorrow. You know, I mean, it's kind of just... Why didn't this guy do more in the business? Why did we get this guy on the show? Why didn't we get this guy in another movie? Why didn't this guy do something with what he had, while still with the talent he still had? You know, it's just, it's sad because here we all are mourning this guy, and he's, you know, for lack of a better term, he's really been gone for years because you haven't heard much out of the guy.
Well, you know, yeah. The only positive is, you know, he's done movies over the years. I think the last thing I remember him doing, he did a voice in the Bolt movie, the animated Bolt movie with John Travolta. But, I mean, he's always doing something, you know, where he's lending his voice to something, or obviously, you know, this year he signed with THQ and with Mattel. And you've got the defining moments figures that have come out with Randy Savage that are very... I don't have one yet, but I'm planning on getting one as soon as I can.
I got an autographed Macho Man copy of SmackDown versus Raw.
Hold on to that son of a bitch, man. You know, Brox actually was supposed to win barbecue sauce. They were late getting it to him, and they actually sent him a dual pack of John Morrison and the Macho Man Randy Savage from the All-Stars game. And I believe that was, you know, autographed by the Macho Man Randy Savage. So, I mean, that's collectibles you guys have that you can't put a price tag on.
Well, you couldn't put a price tag on them before, but now, you know, the sentimental value sort of goes through the roof.
Absolutely.
But, you know, looking back on these matches on the DVDs, like you said, not too many, like, moments. Like, Savage wasn't really the guy that was in your face 110% unless he was in an interview. But he was always the guy you had to watch. You know, I even put his promo style, and I believe it was also said in the chat room, Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior, two guys who had promos that you could not understand at all, but you were entertained every single time.
Well, guys, we're getting full here on the Skype line, and I just want to go ahead and bow out and let you guys finish a great show that you got going on here. Final thoughts, just real quick. The man will always be a legend. It's just a shame that there was so much butthurt between he and Vince that we couldn't have got this guy in the Hall of Fame while he was alive. And, you know, this last year in Atlanta would have been great. It's sad that, you know, he's going to have to watch his Hall of Fame induction from heaven. And the good thing is, JSK's got another interview to do. And with that being said, I'll see you guys on the pay-per-view show tomorrow night. Keep up the good show tonight on Unplugged. And God bless everybody.
All right, Trey, we'll see you on Sunday, man. Thanks. All right, let's go back. Well, actually, before we take this next call, anything else you want to add, Mace?
Not much. You know, we do WTR follows up after a pay-per-view, after SNS has gone off the air. Come on over. Have a listen to us. We've tailor-made a special introduction for this week in tribute to Macho Man Randy Savage. We hope everybody likes it, and we'll be doing more of the same, just like you guys, you know, talking about Savage, talking about pay-per-view.
Sounds good. So you guys,
later, my friend.
Definitely check in.
Stay classy.
We will. Definitely check into WTR, obviously, on Sunday after the pay-per-view and hear what the guys have to say. Thanks for the call, Mace. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Later, bro.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and I do believe joining us right now on the line, welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Hey, JJ, Bronx.
Hey, Bronx, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I found out actually from the Pope, Trent. He had posted it on his Facebook. I hadn't heard about it on the news, and it was about maybe 12:30 in the afternoon when he told me, and then I did some research and found out. You know, as a kid, I don't know, maybe because I was a bad kid. I was never really into Hogan, but Savage was a guy, just, there was something about him. It was A, the way he talked, and B, if you even remember, next to Vince McMahon, he had the best facial expressions ever. He would just do something like with his face, with his, when he was cutting a promo, where you would either laugh or just, and, you know, Trey mentioned that he hasn't done a whole lot in the last few years, yet we're mourning him this way, and all that means is how truly great he was.
Absolutely. I mean, you can definitely tell his mark on the business. I mean, I honestly feel like a part of me has died today. I really do. He is someone that, like I said, early on when I got into the business, when I got into watching wrestling, he was one of those personalities. I hated him back when he was feuding with Hulk Hogan. You know, I couldn't understand. I love the Mega Powers, and I couldn't understand why you felt like, you know, Hulk Hogan was putting the moves on Liz. And I hated that. And as I got older, I started to learn more about professional wrestling. And by the time I knew how the business worked in, you know, the early 90s, Savage was, you know, on top of the world, you know, as WWF champion again, you know, teaming up with the Ultimate Warrior, taking on the guys like Ric Flair and Razor Ramon, and, you know, just some epic feuds came out of that. Even his commentary work for the WWF was fantastic. I mean, I loved seeing him at WrestleMania 9 behind the broadcast booth with JR and a toga and Bobby the Brain Heenan coming out backwards on an elephant. You know, just so many memorable moments for Randy Savage for me. And I really feel like, you know, we've lost a major old school guy, obviously, but someone who breathed the business, and he was someone that, well, he's not replaceable. There's never going to be another Macho Man Randy Savage. Nobody ever will come close to filling that void. No one is ever going to be like that character. He was definitely an original.
And the sad thing is, the media is going to make it all about, you know, he was on steroids. You know what? So what? You know, screw the mainstream media. You know, this shit right here, the shows you do, this is where you go to find out about wrestling. The mainstream media doesn't know anything about wrestling. They only follow it when there's a tragedy. That's the only time. They're like vultures. They just wait for something bad to happen. But I know a lot of people are going to want to call in. JJ, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just want to tell you about something real funny that happened today.
Yeah.
After work, because I have to work tomorrow, I went and did my food shopping today. And as I was checking out, you know, they have as an impulse item Slim Jims, and I swear to God, I grabbed one. I wasn't even thinking about Randy at that point. I just grabbed one. I told her, can you scan this so I can eat it, because I was hungry, and I started eating it. And then one of the guys who was helping bag up the grocery said, man, he said, you know, one of my favorite wrestlers, Randy Savage, died today. And I haven't eaten a Slim Jim in about 6 months, and I looked at it, and I just said, wow. It was kind of bugged out. But, I mean, like you said, the autographed action figures that I have, man, I mean, that kind of bugs me out, too, that, you know, like I got it a month, and I wasn't even supposed to get it, and I got it a month before or 2 months before this happened, and I'll definitely cherish it a lot more now, without a doubt.
Well, Bronx, but before you go, one last thing. Do you have a favorite Macho Man Randy Savage moment?
Oh, man, there were so many of them. My favorite Randy Savage moment was what is, in my opinion, the best match I ever saw as a child, and it was a over 40-minute moment. him and Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. I mean, I'm even scared. I want to watch that match again so bad, but I'm afraid if I do, I won't be able to watch the WWE anymore, because it's like comparing, I mean, it's like comparing gold to horse shit. If you look at the matches Savage put on, I mean, another one of my favorite moments is when he teamed up with Zeus, and here's, I'm not trying to cross-reference anything, so please don't start.
No, go ahead.
But when he used to keep pointing right at Zeus's eye, and Zeus had a glass eye, and he would be like, oh, yeah, the eye of the madness, yeah, the cauldron of the madness. I love that. When he was with freaking Sherry and Zeus, it was awesome. I love the whole cauldron thing, and oh, man, there are too many moments. That, you know, some of them I can remember, some of them I have to just recall, but without a doubt, man, he was one of the greatest. I put him above Hogan, I'm sorry, as far as promo skills and wrestling ability.
Absolutely. All right, Bronx, well, thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it.
And glad, all right, JJ, take care of yourself, man.
All right, man, glad you could be a part of the show tonight.
Thanks, man, me too. Peace.
All right, man. All right, so let's go back to the phone lines, because we're filling up with calls tonight. I'm going to do my best to try to get to every one of you guys tonight, so keep the calls coming in. If you don't make it through, definitely keep up. Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Well, this would be Metallopunk from the chat room. First time calling, but I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Good to have you aboard, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, this morning I hit Facebook right before I think it was before I got to work, and I got to tell you, I saw your post, and I was kind of floored by the whole thing, because, you know, I obviously, just like everyone else who's, you know, 35 and older, you know, have watched him for so long, and so, I mean, it, you know, I know that, you know, like it's been said a couple of times tonight that, you know, you idolized him, but I think a lot of us did at the same time. I got to say that, you know, this probably hit me almost as hard as Owen, you know, and so, you know, for me, it just brings back a lot of, you know, crazy memories of, you know, this guy going batshit crazy, you know, in the ring. You know, I mean, his matches, I mean, even with his matches with George Steele, I mean, he just made those matches watchable. I mean, because by that point, you know, the Animal was pretty much, I would say he was pretty much finished, but even those matches were great. I mean, WrestleMania 2. I mean, he's getting the shit beat out of him by a you know, a pack of roses, and you know, he made it look good. I mean, it was just awesome.
I agree. You know, he's one of those guys that, like I said, you look at his work in the ring, he could put people over. He carried a lot of people to good matches. Case in point, a lot of people, and this is probably my all-time favorite WrestleMania moment of all time. And I'll go on record to say WrestleMania 7, the retirement match between the Ultimate Warrior and the Macho Man Randy Savage will go down to me as obviously the best match that the Warrior ever had in the company. But as far as the story goes, just one of the best stories you could have ever hoped for, because in this scenario you had the Macho King, who had Sensational Sherry and was running roughshod, screwed the Warrior out of the championship, and allowed Sergeant Slaughter to beat the Ultimate Warrior. And, you know, he had gotten rid of Elizabeth prior to all this. And the story of that was Elizabeth at ringside watching the match. And after the Warrior beat Randy Savage, you know, Sherry started putting the boots to him. And who came to his aid but Miss Elizabeth? And she threw Sherry out of the ring, and then you had this moment. This moment with the Macho Man and Elizabeth reuniting, and I actually have the clip for that. I'm going to play here in just a few moments after these calls. But to this day, that is my favorite WrestleMania moment of all time, is seeing Liz and the Macho Man reunite. Because, you know, not only was Macho Man an awesome wrestler, you know, a tough guy in the ring, but that love story between Elizabeth and Randy Savage is something that's sorely missing in the company today. You don't see romance like that. You know, if it's a WWE, like, male-oriented soap opera, which is what everybody calls it, then why don't we see something like that? You know, another correlation, a romance between a Macho Man and a Liz in today's market. Instead, we see, you know, just really quick little angles with somebody sleeping with somebody else or somebody stealing somebody's girlfriend. And now that it's PG, we don't even get that. It's just, you know, there was magic with Liz and Randy Savage. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that. And what's really interesting is about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was really super sick, so I was home for, you know, a couple of days, and I actually watched, because I've got a really, really extensive library of all of their pay-per-views. I watched actually all of 1991, including the Tuesday in Texas, and I just watched that whole thing. And you know, I got to be honest with you, that year for him, I think was bigger than 1992 when he goes and beats Flair and then has the second match with the Warrior. But you know, that was just amazing. Just to see that. And I got to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and you know get off here so you can get some more calls in. But my real quick memory has got to be that second Warrior match. I love them both, but that second Warrior match was just awesome because then you added the whole Mr. Perfect angle into it as who is he going to be in the corner of, and you know the Warrior not trusting Macho and Macho not trusting Warrior. I got to tell you, that next to the Brett Bulldog main event there in Wembley, that I got to say that those were the two matches that made that entire pay per view.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam 1992. Yeah, I remember that well.
Yeah. Nope. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I got to tell you, it's a sad, sad day, you know, and damn it, I hate it when, you know, I see somebody that I grew up watching and damn it, they're not here anymore and it just sucks.
It does, man. Like I said, I've been upset all day. I had no idea until I got home and then found out, and it was, it's been a very depressing day, and I've really spent all day thinking about how I wanted to do this show tonight. You know, I don't have a script in front of me. I don't have a lot of things laid out to do. I just knew that I wanted to come on the air tonight, and I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to tell the world what the Macho Man Randy Savage meant to them.
Absolutely, man. I, you know, this is a great, great forum, and you know, I wish I called in on happier terms. But hey, you know, you'll hear from me some more.
No, we appreciate the call, Metallopunk.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Bye.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. I believe someone is on the line with us. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Oh, I am?
Yep, you're on the air.
Hello? Oh, hi. My name is Chris Husk. I'm a first-time caller. I've emailed you many times.
Yeah, Chris. I've read your emails.
I'm sorry. I'm just very nervous. First time I've ever done this.
Don't be nervous, man.
I just wanted to say I miss Macho Man because he is one of my favorite wrestlers. I had about, I think my top wrestler was Bret Hart, but he was my second. I really don't know what to say much other than that. I mean, all I can say is that at least he's with his two managers up there with Elizabeth and Sherry. And I really am very, very happy to, they know heaven's got them and all that, but I won't hold up the phone. I will try to phone on Tuesday. I got something to do with the Phenom.
All right. Well, hey, Chris, do you have a favorite moment?
Yeah. I've always been a big sucker for the Royal Rumble. It was a funny moment when Yokozuna kicked Randy right out of the ring, and that's probably the best thing to remember. As I'm an old guy, and back then, you know, my memories aren't great. But thank you.
Thank you for the call, Chris.
Have a great show, and you have a good night.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the call. All right, guys. So the phone lines are open. Again, I alluded to this a moment ago. I want to play this for you. This is commentary from WrestleMania 7. The Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth reuniting after all the, you know, after all that time he was with Sensational Sherry. So here is that clip in its entirety.
Elizabeth with her arms outstretched. Tears flowing down. Yeah. Look around. Everybody behind us in the whole ringside area crying. Listen to the ovation. Horrendous.
monster!
Gorilla Monsoon said it best right there. In defeat, he regained the love of his life, Miss Elizabeth. How can you not watch WrestleMania 7 and not shed a tear seeing those two reunited in the WWE, the WWF at the time? Still brings tears to my eye. And my absolute all-time favorite WrestleMania moment right there.
I agree with you right there, JJ. I mean, it's one of the best moments I have seen in a WrestleMania in a long time. I mean, not counting, I mean, I'll always have a heart for Shawn Michaels. He's my idol. He's the one guy I look up to, and I always will. But WrestleMania, when he retired, I mean, that'll always be the one moment. But definitely WrestleMania with Savage and Miss Elizabeth was definitely one of those moments where you look and you just remember where you were, what you were doing. You remember who they are, and you remember what's going on. I know there's somebody on the line, but I want to say something right quick. Bronx had a line he said earlier in the chat, and it rings true because I think it definitely, for this for us as a family, this is one of those lines that sticks with me for the rest of the night. Bronx's line was, Macho Man is in heaven, and JSK is looking at him and telling him, check out Unplugged, and Macho Man is listening to us and smiling down. I mean, that one line is going to stick with me the entire night. And Bronx, I definitely tip my hat to that line.
I would like to think that up there right now, JSK is sitting at the table having a few shots with the Macho Man, talking about how awesome a career he had. I really want to believe that.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely, I mean, JSK, no matter what, I didn't get a chance to meet you myself, but from what I've heard from Trey, from JJ, from Harmony, you were one of the men. You were definitely one of the boys. And no matter what, can't wait to get up together in heaven with you and do a version of Unplugged sitting right across from you. Can't wait, man.
That's cool. Let's jump on the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Mr. Soul. How you doing?
You know, I'd like to say I'm doing great, man. It's still, like I said, it's an emotional roller coaster for me, but I'm hanging in there and I'm trying to give you guys the best show I can, and I really want us to get our feelings out there on Randy Savage.
Yeah, I mean, I just found out like a couple of hours ago. I wasn't even home most of the day, and I was just shocked. You know, it kind of hit me hard because, like I was saying in the chat room earlier, it's like anybody that's like 35 or older, we kind of grew up with Macho Man, so it's like really losing a family member almost. You know, so I don't know. It's like, I don't know what to say.
Well, the best thing you can say is, I mean, do you have a favorite moment of the Macho Man? I mean, I know there's so many, but is there one that really sticks out?
It's a lot. I mean, but I think one of the ones I have picked out is when he was first came into the WWF and all the managers gathered around and wanted to be like his manager. Then the next thing you know, he picks this woman that we know as Elizabeth now, but it was just an amazing time where all the managers gathered together wanting to be the manager of this guy. It was like, you know, that's one of my favorite moments.
Right. No, I agree with that. Anything else, Mr. Soul?
No, that's it, my man. Just take care and, hey, you know, he's in a better place, you know what I mean? So
I agree. I agree. It's just, you know, the selfish part of me and everybody else, we want to keep him here, but he is in a better place, and he's obviously left a mark on each and every one of our hearts. He's left a mark on the business, and bottom line, he's going to be missed.
Yes, he is. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, Stoll.
All right, let's continue on with taking some more phone calls here on Unplugged. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Hey, JJ, it's Mr. Excitement.
Bobby Strauss. What's going on, Bobby?
Well, despite all the news and all the sneezing and tears I've shed today, it's been all right.
I hear you. It's been a day.
But first off, JJ, I wanted to let you know, I sent to the Unplugged email the clip that you were talking about from the Arsenio Hall show, from the interview with the steroids.
Okay.
I sent that clip to you, as well as a clip of one of Macho Man's many comedic moments from Arsenio's show.
I will try to get that on. I've got a couple promos and a few songs that I'm going to play before the show ends tonight. I will try to make that into the rotation. No promises, but I'll see what I can do.
But my favorite moment, well, one of the many favorite moments of Macho Man's career, was the coronation ceremony that they had when he became the Macho King.
Yes. I saw that on WWE.com, and I almost recorded it tonight, but because it was an epic moment. I watched it, and I'm like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it sure was, and the industry has truly lost a great legend.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, this is one of those guys that, you know, again, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, if I say the Macho Man Randy Savage, you're either going to know him from being in the movie Ready to Rumble. You're going to know him from the Slim Jim commercials. You're going to know who Randy the Macho Man Savage is. You know, even 10-year-old kids who haven't watched him perform in a ring, most of the time would know who a guy like Randy Savage is.
Yeah, definitely. And I was browsing around after I heard the news today, and ESPN.com actually has an interview with Macho Man's baseball roommate from when he played baseball.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that he was a minor league baseball player.
Yeah, and he was a mighty good one, too, until he took the ball to the throat to make his voice the way it was. But and also, the whole Macho Man voice that you do, I would have to say, is spot on, as many have told you. But Jason Colthorpe of WILX News 10 out of Lansing tried his shot, and I still say that yours is better than what his was. So.
You know, it's funny. The guy that trained me to wrestle back in 98, a guy named Lynn Johnson, still one of my best friends to this day. And we chat on occasion since we're obviously geographically in different places. He's still in Arkansas, and, well, I'm in Canada. But I can remember times that I would rib him. I literally called him one time as the Macho Man Randy Savage. And this is a funny story. He called me back like a day later, and he actually had to ask me, did you actually call me as Randy Savage? Because I really thought it was Randy Savage. And he literally, he told me, he says, man, he's like, not only do you sound like him, but you like literally enunciate like he does. And he's right. I do, because I'm such a mimic. I love Randy Savage so much that I would sit down and watch his matches, and I would watch his promos, and I would try to imitate him. And I got to the point where I was so damn good that people actually thought I was Randy Savage when I would talk to them. And I always considered that a compliment. You know, I don't want to like be high on myself and, you know, put myself over, but I think mine kills Jay Lethal's.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I just wanted to take the time to call in, but I will go for now, and I will check in again on Sunday night.
All right, Bobby. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. So let's go back to the phone lines to take another call before we take another quick break. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Hey, yo, guys. It's L-Train. How you doing?
L-Train, what is going on tonight, brother?
Well, you know, just sitting around listening to the show. But, boy, as a wrestling fan, it's just, it's a surreal day, you know?
It is. It really is. I mean, you know, the old cliche is you don't know what you got till it's gone. And granted, we've all missed Macho Man over the last few years not being involved in wrestling, because despite the fact that, you know, he's not active in wrestling, I still think that he could have been utilized as a mind, because the guy had a fantastic booking mind. You know, Hogan has said in the past that, you know, Randy was very thorough in his matches, and he had things set up. He knew where he wanted to go. And when you watch those matches, you know that he's right, because Randy hardly ever missed a step. There was very little mess-ups in any matches. I can't remember watching a match and seeing anything major mess up in his matches. That's how fluid he was, and that's how fluid he was with the people he wrestled.
Well, I mean, it was just so weird. I mean, it kind of took me back to November of 2005 when I got online, and the first thing I do is see a little AOL message pop up, a little instant message thing pop up from my friend, and all it says in that is, "Hey man, you hear about Eddie dying?" I just remember that feeling that I had when I read that. And then when I got on Facebook today, I saw Curly's first post, and it said, "Macho Man had a heart attack, got an accident. He was 58 years old." Just seeing those words, "he was," I got frozen for a second. I could not believe what I just read. It was so shocking.
Yeah, you know, when I read that too, I knew that as soon as he said he was 58, I knew it was the worst, but I was like, you know, this can't be real. And then I kept hearing that nobody's confirmed it but TMZ, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll hold out hope. Maybe they'll revive him at the hospital. Maybe something's going to happen here. But, you know, it's sad. It's, you know, of all the ways to go, though, this was just a normal, everyday thing. You know, he's driving his car with his wife, and he has a heart attack. I mean, that it makes you really take into account your life. You know, that could happen to any one of us. Tomorrow, we could be driving down the road, and somebody could have a heart attack. You know, I mean, you never know when your time is going to be there. And I guess the most important lesson to learn from this is, you know, if you have problems with people, your family, you know, even close friends that you haven't talked to in 10 or 11 years, you know, make amends, because life is fragile and it could end at any moment. And you definitely exactly. want to be on the good side of people. You don't want to have a lasting memory that, you know, the last thing you said to somebody was hateful. So if you have problems with your loved ones, work them out.
I agree with you there, man. I mean, you never know when that time of yours is going to be up. You never know when it's going to end. And I definitely agree with you about that, about, you know, trying to make amends with, you know, people you may have had a problem with. You would want, if it's that time of yours to go, you would want to make sure there aren't any things don't end on bad terms. You want to make sure things are right with the people you care about.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite Macho Man moment, or Macho King, or any of the other carnations of the Macho Man? I mean,
you know,
is there one that stands out?
You know, I actually do, and I think I'm not sure because I can't gauge it against everybody else who's probably going to call in tonight. Mine would probably be a little bit different because I think compared to some of the other people who call in and who've been fans for longer, you know, I didn't get into wrestling until like early, mid-97. So I got into it at the point when Savage was already in WCW. And after hearing the news, you know, gelling on it for a few hours, by a stroke of luck, I typed it in on Google. I found the WCW Monday Nitro, the first full-length one, probably the second one or third one I ever saw, but the first full-length one I saw, and in a non-wrestling format, Savage was in the main event. He was the very last thing to go on that show. And the reason I remember it so well was because, well, he was dragging Gene Okerlund out to the ring due to, I think, some sort of dispute that was going on. He dragged Gene Okerlund out to the ring, was just playing to the crowd so amazingly. And then they had J.J. Dillon come out, you know, kind of, you know, try to talk down Savage, you know, like, you know, "I used to have so much respect for you back in the day," you know, just doing the whole verbal berate. And then Savage right hand just drops him. Now, as a little, like, 10-year-old kid, I'm seeing wrestling for the first time. I'm looking at Savage, I am a little freaked out at him. I'm seeing him take a swing at someone who apparently is a position of authority in there, and I'm concerned because I'm thinking, well, if I ever see this guy, I'm concerned he's going to hurt me. I'm concerned he's going to do something to me. I'm always thinking, like, man, he, I mean, you know, I'm, you know, looking at it now, I'm thinking, this dude knows what he's doing. He is selling the shit out of this. He is doing his job well. He is making me dislike him and making me a little scared of him. He had me freaked out then. You know, I commend you, man, for coming out here. I know, I remember, you know, you said you weren't sure at first, you know, about how the show was going to go tonight, so I definitely commend you and Crowley and Trey, you know, sharing some stories and all that, keeping things going the way they've been going. I know this is, just from seeing a lot of the stuff you posted online, I know this isn't an easy night for you, to say the least, but I definitely commend you on, you know, keep on doing what you're doing and just making the show so great. It's great to hear a lot of the things, a lot of the audio clips that you even played today that I, you know, really haven't heard, because, you know, unfortunately I haven't seen a whole lot of Savage's stuff from the early days of WWE, and I definitely need to step up and do that. But everything that I've heard tonight has just been so cool, stories, audio, what have you. It's been so awesome, and it's been so cool, and, you know, it's still sad to think that one of the greats, and, you know, even that's an understatement, is no longer with us, but damn if he did not leave lasting memories for us.
I'll agree with that. L-Train, thanks for the call, my friend.
Thank you, and if I can end it on this, yes, I have a Slim Jim in my hand, and I just snapped into that son of a bitch. Rest in peace, Randy. You're a great one.
On that note, I'm going to go ahead and play a couple clips. I've got a promo that I think is probably one of the funniest Savage promos I've ever seen. It's from WCW, and it features Sting and the Macho Man and, of course, Mean Gene Okerlund. And I've got a tribute video that's going to play after that. So we're going to be off listening to these clips for the next few minutes. When we come back, I'll be taking more of your calls because we're not done yet. Still lots to cover. I still want to hear from everybody that can possibly call into the show tonight. I want your thoughts on the career, the life of the legendary Macho Man, Randy Savage. Guys, we'll be right back right after this with more Unplugged.
All right, Tony Schiavone, Bobby the Brain Heenan, a little arguing going on right there. I'm going to be talking to Sting and the Macho Man in just a moment. You know, I've spent a lot of great years in this city of Baltimore. This arena right now is jam-packed, and this has got to go down as perhaps one of the greatest four or five pay-per-views I have ever been involved with. Super Brawl 5, certainly a very, very exciting event. The city of Baltimore, very exciting. Just to give you a little idea of where we are, we're about a driver away from Camden Yards. That'd be a pretty good driver. And a couple of three woods away from the Inner Harbor. And maybe like a six iron away from the grave of Edgar Allan Poe. Have to be a pretty good six iron. Gentlemen, please come on in. Earlier on, I talked with Big Bubba and, of course, his partner, the Avalanche. You two went at it a little bit earlier.
I'm not talking!
The Macho Man in a kind of a different frame of mind, but Sting, you know what you got to do tonight. You're talking about men that collectively are nearly 1,000 pounds. Certainly you and Randy have got a game plan for this one.
Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Look at my chest. If the camera could possibly get a close-up of that thing. That right there is from the Macho Man chopping each other on the last time we got to talk on some live TV. Talking about this match coming up, we're both nearly bloodied just talking to one another about this whole thing, and now the Macho Man has taken it to the next step. He's not even going to talk. Macho Man, are you sure you don't want to say anything?
I'm not talking.
See what I'm talking about?
He's out of his
tree. The Macho Man is out of his mind. He is ready. He's almost frothing at the mouth. He's afraid, probably, for what? I mean, Gene, he's afraid for what he might say on live TV. Macho Man.
I'm not. No.
You know why? The Macho Man doesn't need to talk. The Stinger doesn't need to talk. But unfortunately, I'm the only one in this team that has the opportunity to. He doesn't want to, so I got to do it. You're talking about law, order, and justice, Big Bubba. Law, order, and justice. No more. You're going to be no more after this is over with an Avalanche. Yes, I have a plan. The Macho Man has a plan, and that is to put you out. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to drop you maybe on your head. The Scorpion Deathlock, does that get you pumped up? Do you want to say something now, Macho Man?
Not talking!
Thank you very much, Sting and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to talk either, BG.
I'm sitting all alone, yeah. What it is what it is. And tonight, in just a few seconds, if you can wait, because I can't.
Are you joking?
jittery?
I'm always jittery. It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
I dreamed I was missing. You were so scared, but no one would listen, 'cause no one else cared. After my dreaming, I woke with this fear. What am I leaving when I'm done here? So
Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network, a very emotional, a very somber night, a night where I want to hear from you guys, the listeners, the SNS family, on your thoughts on one of arguably the greatest professional wrestlers, sports entertainers, complete package of all time, right here on this program. But with that said, I want to welcome to the program the First Lady of the SNS Radio Network, the 51% owner of the SNS Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Boom Boom is in the house.
Damn, Skippy. And you can't be having thoughts and whatnot from the SNS family without having the owner of this damn network give her thoughts.
This is true. And I brought you on here because I want you to tell your story of how you got into professional wrestling. And it does involve one Macho Man Randy Savage. So I give you the floor to kind of let us know exactly what's on your mind.
Well, the first thing that I thought of when I heard about this sad story, which I actually thought was a hoax at first, because I was told, somebody let me know that, and not somebody that's into wrestling. So I just thought it was one of those hoaxes that you see every day on Twitter and Facebook and all of that stuff. But the first thing that popped into my head when I heard it was, when I was, I would have been 10, 11, something like that. And I was flipping through the channels, and I had never watched wrestling before. I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling. It was evil. It was vile. It was violent. And so I was flipping through the channels, and I came across this thing, this wrestling thing. And at the time that I got to that channel, it was when Jake the Snake's snake, attacked or bit or whatever, supposedly, Randy Savage, and Miss Elizabeth was screaming and freaking out and crying, and, you know, he'd been bitten by this poisonous snake, and they took him away on a stretcher. And that's one of those moments in wrestling that really sticks out for me. And again, I wasn't even watching wrestling at the time, and I didn't watch it again for quite some time, but that's one of those memories that stick out in my mind. The second time I saw wrestling was the first time I'd actually watched wrestling. So sat down and watched a show with my uncle when I was about 12. And what sticks out to me the most about that first episode that I ever watched was the, what were they calling them at the time? It was the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh,
and
the Ultimate Maniacs.
Yes, the Ultimate Maniacs. And so I remember that, and I remember that storyline somewhat. You know, it's been a long time, and I don't have that steel trap memory for wrestling facts that you have, JJ. But I remember that storyline and following it, and I remember I was in Newfoundland visiting my uncle, and he let me watch it, and that's what got me hooked on watching wrestling. Is I would watch wrestling with him when I was up there visiting, and I remember the old days when they used to do those promos. We're coming to your town, brother. Those kind of promos, and it was Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior doing a double promo there, and they were coming to Halifax, and I was so excited because I wanted to go so badly, and I didn't. But in any case, those are two moments in my life and my life of professional wrestling that really stick out to me, and they were literally my first two moments and my first exposure to wrestling.
Now, you brought up the snake biting the Macho Man Randy Savage, right?
Yeah, I don't think I actually saw the snake biting him. I just saw Miss Elizabeth completely freaking out and having a meltdown.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
I'm assuming that's what happened.
Yeah, well, I remember that watching very vividly because, you know, this was back in the time that I was getting into how the business worked, and me and my best friend would actually have wrestling matches, for lack of a better term, in a bingo hall where we'd literally just kick each other's ass and suplex and powerbomb each other, and then, you know, obviously feel the brunt of the concrete floor of the bingo hall.
And you were an adult, and I was still in you know, elementary.
No, I was not an adult. I was in my teens, thank you very much, smartass. But, yeah, I remember that, and I can remember being shocked by the events leading up to that. And I think it was L-Train that made mention to 91 was a great year for Savage, even better than 92, because you had, obviously, the realigning of Elizabeth and
Elizabetha.
Savage.
Elizabetha, yeah.
There was no th.
Elizabetha.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, Elizabetha.
You had the reuniting, you had at SummerSlam, you had the match made in heaven, the match made in hell, you know, where Randy Savage and Elizabeth got married on pay-per-view, even though they were actually married still at that point when they had the marriage. And then it kind of opened the door to Savage's return. You know, at the wedding, you had Jake the Snake show up at the reception, and he put the Cobra in the box. And it scared Elizabeth, and that's where the whole Randy Savage, Jake the Snake feud came from, that actually got him reinstated with World Wrestling Federation to take on Jake the Snake in a very good series that they had. And, you know, I have to agree, 91 was a good year for the Macho Man.
See, I wasn't watching wrestling back then, so, you know, it's cool to go back and look at it now. But, you know, he's one of those people that, whether you watch wrestling or not, you know who, other than my mom, who called me to tell me the news today and had never heard of him prior to today, you know who the Macho Man is. And just one more little thing here that kind of never worked out and kind of saddens me now that it didn't. But our neighbors across the street were cousins who were cousins of the Pofos. So one of the, you know, the husband-wife team, one was their cousin, one was their cousin. But they were cousins of them. And so when he would come into town, he would actually stay with them. And they were going to arrange for me to meet him. And that never sort of panned out, as many things never do when people say things like that. So it's too bad that didn't happen, because that would have been pretty cool. And that would have been a really awesome story to talk about right at this moment in time.
I agree. There's a lot of things that would have been awesome had they worked out. If, you know, I could have gotten the Macho Man on this network for an interview, that would have been fantastic. But
thanks, Crowley.
Well, don't blame
Drop the ball on that one, Crowley.
Don't blame Crowley. It's
wow.
not his fault.
Wow. Isn't he the book?
Really?
Pay no attention to the hostile 51% owner.
Well, no, but you know, this really reminds me that, you know, we talk when you and I first started talking and you we were doing a show somewhere else and I talked to you and I said, you know, I would love you forever, and I didn't even love you then. If you could get Sensational Sherry on the show, that
wasn't
would
that
be
last
just,
week. Oh wait, no, it wasn't.
That would be just absolutely awesome. I would so love to talk with Sherry and you know all of that stuff, and you know then she passed away and that never happened, and so you and I were actually just talking about a week ago about how awesome it would be to try and get him on the show and do your impressions for him and whatnot. So, you know, it's in this type of industry, it's really sad because you do have that bucket list, but unfortunately things like this happen. And, you know, this is a one-off situation, I'm sure, but things like this happen where people pass away way too soon, way too often.
I agree. I do want to go back to the phone lines. Believe we have somebody waiting in the wings. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
This is the Zeus, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to share some thoughts about the Macho Man. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. All
right, man. Do your best.
I'm just wanting to say that I was completely stunned when I found out about the Macho Man. I had looked on TMZ, and then I just couldn't really believe it at first. And then I got a few text messages from some friends, man. It just stunned me to know that my childhood hero is gone. It completely devastated me.
I'm with you, man. It's been a rough day. Do you have a moment that stands out in your mind of something Macho Man did that inspired you or really got your attention?
Well, there's a lot of them, but I think my favorite moment of the Macho Man was when he finally got his woman back. He finally got her back. I'm saying it was just that right there changed my perspective, not only on just how special something can be, but it made me think that I wouldn't know how to put this. It made me to lead to go ahead and get into professional wrestling that I have been in. And I have been nothing but a fan of the Macho Man, and I have just, it's bothering me right now as we speak. That's why I keep stuttering and everything, and it's just a plain out it was a plain out honor even getting to meet him back. I think it might have been in 02 or 03, and it just shocked me.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I'm going to go ahead and get off. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great show.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
No problem.
All right. I want to kick it over to Harmony for a second. She's got something that she wants to say real quick.
Well, I just wanted to read the poem that Jay Lethal posted. I think it's pretty cool. So I just wanted to read it out here for all of the listeners that haven't had a chance to hear it yet. So here we go. You were a tower of power that was too sweet to be sour. You were funky like a monkey every minute of every hour. For you, space was the place and time distortion had to be. And your fans here on Earth watched the madness for eternity. You met every challenge with fists clenched and face to face. You even fought and defeats dragons and snakes. Flying off the ropes with an elbow drop, there was no way you could ever be stopped. Indefiable by your voice alone, even being dubbed the Macho King while you sat on your throne. We hung on your words with interviews memorable and classic. We knew it was serious when you took off your glasses. I promise not to lose you in the sands of time, for you will always be that all-time hero of mine.
Wow, I mean, that speaks volumes. And we're talking about a guy that is most recognizably known for his Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation in TNA. A guy that, granted, I think is very talented, but didn't need to be the Macho Man Randy Savage to get over. And, of course, now he's no longer with TNA Wrestling, but very very poignant words from Jay Lethal. Obviously, someone like myself who looked up to the Macho Man and, you know, touches my heart to hear that.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was parts there that it didn't quite exactly rhyme, but you could just feel the heart reading that, just how much he put of himself and his thoughts and his emotions and his feelings towards his childhood idol in that poem.
No, he did. Before I play another another little sounder from the Macho Man's career. I want to turn to Krelly and Sean and see if you guys have anything to say, because, I mean, I don't want to feel like I'm just completely taking over the show tonight, but we are getting bombarded with calls. You guys got anything to say really at this time? Or
No worries, JJ. No worries about us all, dude. I mean, we're sitting here. I'm enjoying the calls myself. I mean, it's great to hear from all of this, all of the SNS family in its own. And I mean, the poem that Harmony just read actually did bring me to tears a little bit. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Macho Man Randy Savage, but I was a fan no matter what, and I did look up to him. And it's great hearing all these stories, everything from everyone, from Harmony to Zeus, who just called in a few minutes ago, to Soul, who called in, Bronx, I mean, everybody. It's great to hear from everyone, no matter what. And, I mean, I'm glad we're doing this tonight, in all honesty, because I really don't think I would have been able to go through with what I had originally planned. And, JJ, I just thank you for doing this tonight.
Hey, you know what? I didn't know if I was going to be able to go through this. I mean, literally, I spent all day in tears, and I thought, how on earth am I going to get through this show without breaking down? How is this going to happen for me tonight? And, you know, luckily for me, everything has you know, worked out. We've had a fantastic show so far. I love that you guys are getting involved and calling in and giving me your thoughts on Randy Savage, because, again, he touched a lot of us, you know. Maybe not physically, but he touched our hearts. And, you know, we appreciate everything that he did in this business because, you know, he left a mark that nobody's ever going to, you know, replace. He's irreplaceable. He is an icon.
Definitely, JJ. And I feel just like I did when Eddie Guerrero passed away. I mean, I was in tears the entire night because I had actually had the chance to meet Eddie. I'd had a chance to actually have dinner with Eddie and his family, and just having that one chance made such an impact on my life because he was just coming off the drugs. He was coming off all everything, and it was just like, this is one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. And then, I mean, there's Randy Savage, who went through his personal demons also, who came back from that. And, I mean, it was just one of those things where, I mean, in all honesty, I feel that Eddie Guerrero was on the plateau that Savage was, but Savage was on that plateau just above that. He definitely made it so that people were trying to get to that point, but they couldn't. And it's just one of those things where I look at tonight and I'm just kind of like, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm back on SNS so I can be able to do this and listen to these guys. It's definitely awe-inspiring.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Howdy, guys. It's Rantables from the chat.
Rantables, you have been very vocal in the chat tonight, man. So talk to me, man.
Well, earlier, you know, this morning when I heard about everything that had happened, it kind of made me wish that I'd been born maybe 5 years earlier, so I really could have gotten to experience everything that Randy had done back in the late 80s and early 90s, because I think I was a little too young to really have experienced that back when he was really in his prime. So it's funny how I don't normally think that most people wish that they were older than they are, but I kind of wish that I was at this point, just because I really could have gotten to experience it firsthand instead of having to see it, later, like on DVDs and all that kind of stuff.
No, I agree.
And when you played the clip from WrestleMania 7, I almost teared up just because that was. I think I said this in the chat, but when I heard the audience for that moment, and I said in the chat, you know, Vince can't buy a pop from the crowd like that nowadays. It's just it was such an incredible, just such a great, an amazing storyline, just with two memorable characters. That it's one of those. It's kind of like a lost art nowadays, and it's a real shame because I really wish that that we could hear, that we could get this kind of stuff today. But it's so sad that we won't be able to experience anything quite like Randy Savage anymore.
It is. It's the end of an era. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I just he's the last person that I would have thought waking up today, I would have heard Randy Savage passed away. I just, you know, after everything that he's been through in his life, you know, obviously he and Hogan had a major falling out for many, many years. Where they, I guess Hogan commented on Twitter today that, you know, they didn't talk for like 10 years. And, you know, I don't know what the specifics of the problem was. I remember the interview from Val back in 2003 when he said that it was because Hogan had called his dad and said something derogatory to his dad. And it just kind of went back and forth from there. And, you know, that's when, you know, Randy did his music and called out Hogan, which I'm going to be playing that here in a few moments. But, you know, the bottom line is those guys, Hogan and Savage, were such good friends back in the WWE, you know, back in the old WWF days. You know, the Mega Powers was, you know, super over, just a great relationship from those guys. And to see, like I said, where they went through this period of dissension for about 10 years, is really sad. And in the last couple of years, Savage's life has changed. Obviously, he's not wrestling. He hasn't done much except lend his voice to things and, you know, obviously now action figures and video games. But he married his high school sweetheart about a year or two ago. And, you know, he was in a better place. And it's just, you know, life happens, you know. Nobody lives forever. And this is definitely making us all realize our mortality, that you could go tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what I'm going to do this weekend, I'm going to pick up the Macho Madness DVD pack, and I think I'm going to do my best for this weekend. I'm probably going to talk as much as I can in the Macho Man voice, just to kind of, you know, as my own little kind of closure, I guess you could say.
I hear you, man. I recommend the DVD set, even though there's, you know, no Macho Man other than matches. You know, there's no story to it, which I hate. I mean, maybe they'll come out and do a Macho Man story, even though he won't be a part of it. I would still like a comprehensive story of his career, but I recommend it. In fact, I might even watch a match or two tonight and then watch a bunch of it tomorrow. But love the Macho Man Randy Savage, and I definitely recommend that DVD.
Yeah, it's. I'm pretty sure that before I go to bed tonight, I'm probably going to watch the Savage Steamboat match from WrestleMania 3, just to kind of ease my sleep for tonight, I think. So yeah, it's so I guess that's all I gotta say. So thanks for taking my call, and it's been a great show tonight, really. Thanks. One of the best.
Thanks, Rantables. I appreciate it. It's, you know, it was a crapshoot. I didn't know what I was gonna do. I just, you know, I literally was in tears moments before the show, and I, you know, I still kind of get teary eyed, you know, just still doing the show tonight. So I'm just surprised my composure hasn't, you know, wavered tonight.
Yeah, and I do want to thank you one last time for playing the WCW promo. That really made me laugh tonight, and I think that was really important to get a laugh a couple of laughs in tonight, just with all the with everything that's happened. That was really a nice change of pace. So I really want to thank you for playing that promo.
No problem, bro. No problem.
All right. See you later, guys.
Now, you know that once, you know, reality has set in and you've gone through all of the stages of grieving and whatnot, and you're okay and you're not upset all of the time. You know, I'm totally making fun of you for this.
Whatever. You do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
You know, I don't get chances like this often. I have to take them when I get them.
If Bret Hart dies tomorrow, you're going to be a wreck. He's your idol. Remember?
I won't be, though.
You will be.
I won't be, though.
You will be.
I won't be, though.
Okay, we'll see.
I will be saddened.
This on-air argument brought to you by SNS.
Just like I was saddened when Owen died, when Davey died, originally when Benoit died. But I'm not emotionally attached to them.
Well, I'm not wishing death on anybody, so let me express that. When I said that if Bret Hart died tomorrow, you'd mourn it. I don't want that to happen.
I would not mourn it.
Oh, you
I went
so
into
would.
Mourning when he stopped wrestling. Come on now.
Wow. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back to the phone lines and take our next call. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Ooh, yeah. The mighty Ashley has arrived.
That was horrible. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Isn't it weird how my impression of him sounds exactly like Thor? Just saying.
Hi, Ashley.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hello.
Quit hitting on the fucking foreigners. God damn it.
Wait.
If they'd stop talking with their accents.
First it was Mace.
First it was Mace.
Oh, it's an accent off.
First it was Mace, and now you're going to be hitting on Ashley? Leave my studio.
And yet it's become me.
It's my studio, damn it.
She's actually got a point there. All right. Ashley, the floor is yours, man. I'm turning her mic off.
Typically, this is the day where I basically turn on my computer at about, I don't know, midday Eastern time. And just leave it on for about 5 hours and not look at it. So then I go at like 5 o'clock and it's like, holy crap. Obviously, I'm roughly the same age as Chris and never got to see him in person. But, you know, I vaguely remember about 3 or 4 years ago, I went to a charity shop and for like 50 pence, which is about a dollar, I got SummerSlam 92. And WrestleMania 8 on VHS. And my word. I will cherish them. I'm going to keep them now because those are the first experience that I really had of Macho. And wow. What a guy. He'll be sorely missed by God knows how many bit. I mean, you know, celebrities are tweeting it about their, you know, respects to the guy. God knows how, you know, hundreds of the wrestlers as well. It's just. It's good. It's nice to see.
I agree. Is there a moment that stands out? You know, a definitive Macho Man or Macho King moment that stands out to you that made you a fan of him? Or
to be honest, it was kind of like seeing that video package of getting the WrestleMania 8 because that was the first one I watched because I tried to watch him in chronological order and. That was, you know, brilliant because when you look at the backstory into that, you know, the year before that, he, you know, in inverted commas, retired from wrestling. Within 12 months, he was champion again. And wow, just.
You know, I can still remember the Ric Flair feud he had in the WWF, you know, where Ric Flair was saying that, Liz was his before he was hers, and they had the big photo forgery of the poster of Liz and all the faked pictures of Liz with Ric Flair. And, you know, that was the whole, you know, basis for the feud between Randy Savage and Ric Flair. And their match at WrestleMania 8 was fantastic. You know, the second time Savage won the belt was such a memorable moment. You know, it was the Hoosier Dome. And that match should have, you know, by all necessity been Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, but they opted to go with Sid and, you know, Hulk Hogan and then have Macho Man and Ric Flair. And I got to be honest, even if they had gone Hogan-Flair, I don't think it would have been as good a match as what we saw with Savage and Flair because those guys, two of the best technical wrestlers ever, just stole the show.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm amazed we haven't talked about in the 2.5 hours that the show's been on already. His theme tune. My God, what a fee.
Oh, I know. Pomp and Circumstance. That's, you know.
This is the thing that really gets to me. Because 20 miles down the road, that tune was written 110 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. So that is an English tune.
Yeah. It. There's a tune over here which is Land of Hope and Glory, which I guess is the unofficial national anthem, if we don't want to sing God Save the Queen or whatever.
It's also the graduation tune, because I graduated when I, you know, graduated and walked out in front of everybody. They played that over and over and over again. And I'm sitting there going, why the hell are they playing wrestling themes? Because I didn't know it was...
Poor Harmony's probably thinking that Macho Man's going to run out and hit her principal with a chair.
Well,
they're graduating! Dig it! Yeah!
That would have been pretty awesome, but then I started watching wrestling and thinking, why the fuck does he come out to a graduation song?
He was proud that he graduated. I always wondered that, too. I was like, that's an epic theme. I mean, it's one that you know in the back of your mind where that theme came from. And, you know, I mean, obviously, if you graduated high school, it's something that you hear at every graduation.
Well, and you hear the first two notes, and you know who it is. And that's what I hate about theme songs now, not to get off topic, is they change. They're constantly changing. But those old songs, those classic songs that you tied to the actual wrestler, you heard the first two notes and you knew exactly who was coming out. And 10 years, you could hear those first two notes and you could know that's the Macho Man, that's Hulk Hogan, that's Bret Hart.
Absolutely. Ashley, anything further? Any memories that kind of stand out to you?
Too many to mention, I think. So I will let you all go and continue on with the show. Great show you're doing tonight, and hopefully WWE does some kind of tribute to him on the pay-per-view on Sunday and possibly next week as well on the programming, even TNA as well, because I think he's touched God knows how many people around the world. So speak to you hopefully next week sometime, guys.
All right, thanks for calling in, brother. All right, that was Ashley, and let's go back to the phone lines because now I'm starting to get lit up like Christmas. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Yep, Midnight Man.
Midnight Man, how are you doing, dude?
I'm just like you today. We're both down and out. I'd like to tell you a little story about the Macho Man. You
okay.
Can go to bed tonight, my brother, knowing that Macho Man knew about you. I was in the hospital, and a bunch of people came in and said that you had been granted a, like, make-a-wish. And I was brought to WCW. In my town.
Oh, wow.
I met Liz and Macho. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, it's okay, man. We're all feeling it. Do what you got to do, man. It's cool. No worries.
I met him. I met Liz. I met Sherry. I met Doom. And they told me what I've been putting in the chat for a long time. When I didn't have a voice, I'm going off of my cell phone with a voice deal in case my voice does drop.
Okay.
And he said, just fight. Macho Man looked like my cousin. And I told him, brother, whatever happens, I'll still be a fan. When I woke up today, read your post and Crowley's, and searched the net, I thought it was a hoax like Harmony did. If it wasn't for you, Trey, JSK, and Adam, I wouldn't be a fan today. You guys have saved my life. I died so many times, and when they zapped me back, I asked the doctor, why are you bringing me back? There is a purpose here, Jeff. We're breaking character.
Absolutely.
You're Jeff Jackson. Harmony, I love you to death. You guys have kept me going since 2000. I was going to go on stage tonight. I'm in my bus right now. My band is on stage. We're broadcasting your show to the club. I just walked in there before I made the call. Everybody is in tears. Because, like you said, everybody knows who Macho Man was and is.
Absolutely.
And to this day and forward, he will live like the rest of them. In our hearts, our souls. And the band is now writing a poetry tribute to him. And we will be putting that out within a month. And it will be broadcast on Sunday Night Showdown first.
Absolutely.
Jeff, I'm going to let you finish the show. Trey, I know you're out there. I love your brother. JSK, this one's for you.
Midnight,
it's already open, Jeff.
Midnight Man, I love you, man. Thanks for the call.
Take care, bro.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's got me kind of emotional now. First time I've ever talked to Midnight Man over the phone, and I appreciate the call. You know, he's been an avid supporter of us for a long time, and, you know, he's feeling the same thing that we all are. You know, we're all upset tonight.
You know, this is actually the first time I've ever heard Midnight Man. I've seen him in the chat a lot of times, and he brought me to tears. I mean, it's one of those things where people who do get the stories, I mean, JJ, you've been there with me for a while. I mean, we came from the other show or the network. I mean, you've always been there for me no matter what if I had to talk. I mean, you're always there for me, brother. And, I mean, these guys, this is the family. I mean, that's all it is. This is the family. And it's great hearing from people that I've never heard from. Midnight Man is definitely one of those guys, and I definitely appreciate that phone call because that does hit me straight in the heart.
Me too. Me too. Let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
LeSabre.
LeSabre. How you doing, man?
Doing fine. Yeah, I just got a text from my friend this afternoon, and I didn't want to believe it didn't, you know, with all the stuff that goes on in wrestling, but it kind of touched me because it kind of made me go back in matches that reflected and stuff. I would say the three main points or main storylines that I liked was the WrestleMania 4 tournament, where they pushed him after they had the free agency with the managers and who was to get or to be the manager of Macho Man since he was a free agent, not knowing the history before that. And also, not only that, but his feud with Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. And then also his deranged but uncanny thing with George Animal Steel, how George Animal Steel got to chase Elizabeth around and how over the wall and kind of outlandish maniac style type he was to protect the woman that he truly loved at the time, even though it was his manager as well.
Right.
Yeah, no, and it just... I don't know. I mean, it's just in awe, I guess, pretty much. But I don't know. I mean, I just had to call because I just felt that, you know, he's done so much for the business, even though don't know what kind of relationship he had with the owner, with Vince and so forth, but... do you think he would be Hall of Fame worthy?
Oh,
I mean,
oh, without a doubt.
Not knowing,
without a doubt, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm disappointed it hasn't happened before now. I would have liked to have seen again the reconciliation between Vince and Randy Savage. You know, but we didn't get that, and I have no doubt in my mind that within the next couple of years he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's going to be next year, because I think they're waiting for Tampa, which is in 2012. And I think that's where you want to do it. I mean, that's where he's living, or that's where he was living with his wife. And, you know, Lanny's there. And I just think that it would be a better moment. And more than likely, Lanny's going to be the one inducting him in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's fitting. I mean, that's his brother. And, I wish that he would have been around for that, because I would have loved to have seen the crowd pop for him. But, you know, I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a dry eye in the house when Randy Savage gets inducted, because, you know, the IWC, and I'm a proud member of that, for all the shit that we take and for everything that the rest of the IWC say, all the shit we take, we're very proud of certain people. And the IWC for a long time has felt that Savage got a raw deal. We don't know what happened between him and Vince. There's rumors, obviously. It's been speculated for so long, but we don't have the facts, and we don't know what happened, and we probably never will. But I think he's deserving, and it's just a matter of time. He's going to be in there.
Well, I was wondering, isn't his father also a wrestler?
Yeah, well, Angelo Poffo was a wrestler.
Do you see him being in the Hall of Fame as like a family, or just individualized?
I think that when Randy goes in, his dad's going to be there too. I mean, Angelo obviously is not going to be the main event, you know, Hall of Fame guy. Savage will be. He will be that main one. And I think that you're going to see Angelo Poffo and Randy inducted the same night. I just, I can't see it any other way.
Well, that's nice to hear that it's going to be in Florida next year and so forth. So it's not too far away for wherever they're holding it at. I just got one thing left before I let you guys go. I did watch that Voice versus Hogan tonight on HDNet. It was very well pleasing to see Hogan praise Savage, even though that's probably pre-taped and so forth like that, because he said that was Hogan said that was, or let me rephrase this. Hogan said that Macho Man Randy Savage was the best worker that he had been wrestling in the WWF, WCW, and so forth. So if anybody does have HDNet, check it out. It's on next week on Wednesday, 3 p.m., I believe. If not, hopefully you get a chance. But I just wanted to say that 3 and 4, I think, were good storylines, and the one that with George Emmanuel Steele. So I thank you for keeping the phone lines open. I know I don't call very much, but I do listen to you guys, which you do give good shows and so forth like that. So I thank you.
I thank you, man. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
All right, before I wrap things up with a few more calls, there are a couple video clips I want to get to, because we're running long tonight, but, you know, I don't really care. This show is what it is. It's a tribute to the memory of the Macho Man Randy Savage, and it's a tribute to what he means to me. It's a tribute to what he means to everybody. He's someone that we loved, and he's someone that's going to be missed. And, you know, not only did he make a mark in professional wrestling, and obviously some would joke that he made a mark in the world of rap music, but we know that's not really the case. But he crossed over into movies as well. And I can remember going to the theater in 2002. And the big deal was that, you know, Sam Raimi had taken over and was going to do a Spider-Man movie. And, you know, for years, comic book fans and, you know, Marvel fans had waited for a Spider-Man movie. And if you know anything about the comic, you know that when Peter Parker is bitten by the radioactive spider, that he ends up having a wrestling match to try to make some money. And something major happens at this wrestling event. You know, a robber steals money from the promoter, and Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, doesn't stop him. And the robber goes on to kill his Uncle Ben. And then, of course, we learn that with great power comes great responsibility. And that's what really sets the tone for Spider-Man as a hero in the Marvel Universe. And I was so glad that Sam Raimi, and he didn't want to, he was against putting the wrestling scene in the Spider-Man movie. But to complete the story, it needed to be there, and Sam Raimi put the story in the movie. With that said, I have a clip from the Spider-Man movie from 2002 that features the Macho Man Randy Savage as professional wrestler Bonesaw McGraw, and here it is.
Are you ready for that? Bonesaw is ready.
Again. Oh, yeah.
Will the next victim please enter the arena at this time? If he can withstand just 3 minutes in the cage with Bonesaw McGraw, the sum of $3,000 will be paid to.
What's your name, kid?
The Human Spider.
The Human Spider, that's it? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
The sum of $3,000 will be paid to the terrifying, the deadly, the amazing Spider-Man!
My name's the Human Spider.
I don't care, get out there.
No, he got my name wrong.
Get out there, you moron!
You up and spits you out, little man. I hope you brought your mommy with
you.
Gonna
break you
someone to go
crying. I'm gonna rip
all 80 of your feet laced in your cup, one by one.
Hey, listen, some kind of mistake. I didn't sign up for a cage match. Hey, unlock the thing. Take the chain off.
Hey, Freak Show, you're going nowhere. I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime. What are you doing up there?
Staying away from you. That's a cute outfit. Did your husband give it to you?
Now, see, and there goes the truth and the fact that once again, Randy the Macho Man Savage can carry anybody to a good match as he put Spider-Man over in his first ever wrestling match back in 2002. I was so proud of Randy Savage to be involved with that movie. You know, as far as mainstream wrestlers and movies, even though it was a cameo part, just it was a huge thing for Randy Savage, and I was so proud to see somebody so well represented, and I thought he did a fantastic job. Sean, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother. And unfortunately for me, I have to say goodnight tonight. I have to be to work at about 8 o'clock, which is about in 6 hours. So I need to grab some sleep. We've got a long day ahead of me. But I definitely want to say that this has been a great show. It's definitely great to hear from the family. Everyone who called in, no matter who you are, if you listen to any of the shows, you listen to the archive, you're stumbling upon us for the first time, as I think JJ said or Trey said, in 10 years. I mean, we thank you for listening, no matter what. This has definitely been one of those things where I have enjoyed this no matter what. And JJ, I thank you for allowing me the chance to come on the show. As you do every week. I thank Harmony for allowing me to stay on the network, even though I left at one time. it's just great to be back home, as I like to call it. And, I mean, I work for my company out here, but I also have my hobby, which is also my other jobs. I work for Corelli, and I work for, of course, the bosses, Harmony and JJ Sexay. So, I mean, it's always a great time, no matter what, when I get to speak to all of them. And tonight, I'm changing up the usual trademark phrase that I have of U4L, and tonight we're going to go with another one. We're going to go with MM4L, also known as Macho Man for Life. May he live long in our souls and in our hearts, and as he's looking down, the only thing I can say, thank you for everything.
Well said, Sean. Well said. I will talk to you soon, man, and I'll see you on Sunday for Sunday Night Showdown as we cover Over the Limit.
Definitely see me on Sunday. And to anybody in the picks, get your stuff in to me. by Sunday. I want to get this done as soon as possible so I can go get everything else done. And before I leave, I'm going to try something I've never done before. I'm going to try my Macho Man Randy Savage voice, and we're going to see how bad I'm going to break my mic. So here we go. Ooh, yeah! It's the Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm funky like a chicken. Ooh, yeah! There we go.
All right.
From me to you guys.
Funky like a chicken.
I was going to try that,
funky
but...
Funky like a monkey. Get your fucking
shut up.
Right, son.
Maybe kicking like a chicken, but not funky like a chicken.
Oh, well. I at least did it. Just hush. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Sean. We'll talk to you soon, man. All right. On that note, guys, we're getting ready to wrap things up here in a second. And I do have one more piece of audio that I want to play, and I might take one or two more phone calls after this. Come to Unplugged. Who's there?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Nate.
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, you know, I've been watching for years. I'm like 36 now. I was watching way back in WrestleMania 3. That's the first one I watched. It's my flagship since I started watching wrestling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and, you know, when I first saw Randy Savage, my grandfather, when he was watching it, he said, look at this guy. He jumps in and out of the ring. He's got a yellow streak down his back, and he walks around the ring. He doesn't do any wrestling. And I was like, I started to believe him. And then after a while, I thought, you know, this guy is painting us a story, you know. He's doing this on purpose, and he's getting a crowd reaction from it. And ever since then, I knew he was really good. I watched all the moves he did, and even now, nobody does his moves. You know, he does the hair grab, and he jumps out of the ring and bounces them off the rope. You never see that anymore.
You know, that growing up, that was my favorite maneuver by the Macho Man, and even when I made my created character in SmackDown versus Raw, I was elated this last year or so when they put that particular move in the game. Because, you know, honestly, I'd never seen the athleticism of somebody running across the ring, jumping over the top rope, and guillotining somebody. I mean, he actually jumped out of the ring and landed on his feet. And the athleticism that takes to pull off that move, it was just incredible. And Savage had it in spades. I mean, he was a guy that could do high-flying stuff. You know, the elbow drop that he did was beautiful. Second to none, only by Shawn Michaels. I always thought that Michaels was a little bit prettier with the elbow than Macho, but Macho was the originator. And his moveset has not been mimicked. It's not been imitated. And you're right. I mean, that does stand out. I would love to see somebody come along and do that running guillotine. Maybe this Sunday at Over the Limit, we're going to see somebody step it up and do some Macho Man moves in tribute to the Macho Man. Will it happen? We're just going to have to wait and see. But I'd like to think maybe an elbow from the top by somebody and the announcers call it, or something that we haven't seen in a while by Randy Savage. But yeah, you're right on that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a hand twirl or something. You just never know.
True that. Is there a moment that sticks out to you?
Oddly enough, it came from a show that I used to listen to. I've even listened to audio wrestling a long time, and it was with Get in the Ring. They don't do it anymore. And they did an interview with him, and it was talking about his WCW days. And he was talking about the politics in it. He made me laugh so hard when he was talking. It was all about Hogan, you know. It was all Hogan, man, you know. Everything that happened, you know. He was the one. He's the ultimate bad guy here. He's hilarious, that guy, you know.
Right.
I mean, I never took him. I didn't laugh at him or anything like that. I just knew where he was coming from a point of view.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, and even when you watch him nowadays, you still can. I can still hear that interview.
I have to go back in the archives and check that one out. I've missed that one, but I used to listen to Get in the Ring every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, I miss those guys. They're gone, but you know, you guys, I still stick around and hear you guys. You guys are doing a good job too. You know,
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Well, anything else before we let you go? I appreciate the call tonight.
Not really. I'd just like to, thank everybody and thank the show that we had this tonight, you know.
Well, you know, I'm glad you guys turned out, and we've had an awesome turnout. Again, my plan for tonight's show prior to this was, you know, just a regular unplugged. You know, I was going to do the gaming segment with Sean, and, you know, we were going to review SmackDown, and, you know, believe me, I guess, you know, had I had my way, that would be the way the show would go tonight, that I wouldn't have woken up to the news that the Macho Man had passed away. But unfortunately, it is what it is, and
yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm devastated.
The same here. I mean, I'm calling all the way from New Zealand. I'll call again sometime, but, you know, I was hoping this wouldn't be the time I needed to call.
Well, we appreciate the call, man. I really do.
Cheers.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, man, we are international from everywhere, New Zealand.
Man, that is yet another international market that we've hit. We've got England, Ireland, we've had Australia, now New Zealand. I mean, is there any part of the world that we're not hit yet?
I'm still waiting on China and Japan. But it's coming. It's coming.
I swear we had a Japanese listener. Or, no, sorry, he was an American that lived in Japan.
I think that was Korea. I think you're thinking of Troy Smith. Yeah, that's who I think you're thinking of. Before we wrap things up, I am going to take another call here in just a moment, but I am going to play an audio clip here. Obviously, as you know, in 2003, the Macho Man Randy Savage embarked on a new journey. Wasn't in professional wrestling. Wasn't in the world of movies. It was the fact that, well, he decided that he wanted to make a rap album. And after this, I got a funny story to tell you. And I think you guys will get a kick out of this. Even though I never heard back from the recipient, I do have a story to tell. So with that said, I am going to play probably the most infamous hit known by the Macho Man Randy Savage. It's called Be a Man. He's talking about none other than the Hulkster brother. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you. I'm coming after you, you coward. I'm digging it in. Hulk, glad you set it off.
Set it off.
Used to be hard, Hulk. Now you done turns off. Doing telephone commercials. I seen ya. Dancing and tight as a ballerina. I do all along. You had those tendencies. You've been running from Macho like I got a disease. Dude, please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage because you know you'll get smoked. Come on, that phony fight the rock straight too fast. But when I challenged Hogan to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood Hulkster, you're at the end of your rope. And I'ma kick you in the butt and wash your mouth, I was so. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a pump.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big pump. They call you Hollywood? Don't make me laugh. Cause your movies and your acting skills are both crap. Your movie's straight, the video, the box can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man. You hide the man, but when I find you, it's on. And when I slam it through the dirt, you wish you was never born. I smell a coward, is that you, Hogan? Macho's gonna kick your butt, this is a slogan. You tried to ignore me, thinking I'll go away. But I'ma keep on messing with you, dude, day after day. And once you step to Macho, you're through. The joke's on you, so Hulk, what you gonna do? Probably nothing, cause you're a real big punk. You call my dad up on the phone, man, use a chunk. Cause if you really got static, take it up with me. And I'll punk your butt out for the world to see.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk.
right, there you have it. Off his 2003 album, that is the Macho Man Randy Savage with Be a Man, a song that he wrote to Hulk Hogan, who, again, don't know the full story on it, but according to Macho Man, a call was made to Angelo Poffo by Hulk Hogan. He disrespected Angelo, and the feud basically started between the Hulkster and Randy Macho Man Savage. The show I was on, Voice of Wrestling, in 2003, interviewing the Macho Man Randy Savage. He talked with Bad News Allen and had a lot to say as far as Hulk Hogan was concerned and what changes went on in their friendship back in the day. And prior to the break, I told you I had a quick little story that I want to share with you. As most of you know, I am not the biggest John Cena fan in the world. Never have been, never will be. But I remember when John Cena had his rap album in 2005, right after winning the WWE Championship. True story, I swear to God. I knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that worked at a cell phone company. And they offered me a couple of phone numbers that I tried, and they worked. One being Randy Orton, and one being Cena, yeah. And I remember calling Randy Orton at a convention one time and trying to get an interview, and he said I had to go through the WWE office. So I did, and you know that didn't work out as well as I'd planned. But right after John Cena won the championship in 05 and his album debuted, I thought, you know what? I want to pull a rib, and I just want to have a little fun with it. And I literally called John Cena's cell phone number. His voicemail picked up. And I remember cutting a promo as the Macho Man Randy Savage. I challenged him to a battle rap and said that my album was better than his and that he was a second-rate rapper and he would never be as good as the Macho Man. Of course, after I was done, I got myself out of the voice, introduced myself, and you know, said I'd love to hear some feedback. Never heard back from John Cena, so I'm sure that regardless of the fact that I never heard from him, I'm sure that he got a kick out of hearing the supposed Macho Man Randy Savage calling him out via his rap album. So I never heard from you, John. I would have loved to have. That would have been fun, but I did that. I wish I had audio, you know, proof of that, but it did happen in 2005. So just a little funny story that I wanted to relate to you guys. And I remember telling Tim about it after I did it, and he was dying. So I think we even talked about it on WTR, but it was fun. And I'm disappointed, John. Never got a call back. So, Crowley, are you back?
Yes, I am. My Skype said, well, since it's doomsday here in England, it's going to die on me already. So it was a prelogue to the impending explosion of the world.
Well, are there zombies running around outside your sitting room? That's the question.
No, there's not just yet, but okay, apparently it starts in New York, so the people in New York will be the first ones to die. So that gives me a few hours to run around and play a bit more Black Ops, because you know what? It's quite ironic. The one day of the year that is going to explode is double XP on PS3 for Black Ops. Is that not quite ironic? I swear, like, God does not want me to play Black Ops ever. I mean, we finally get back online, and now the world's going to explode. Ironic? I think not.
Well, you know, the original plan for this show tonight was, I know Sean had done a write-up where we were going to do a big apocalypse special. This was going to be the last radio show that you were going to hear before the apocalypse, before the rapture, before we all started being sucked up to heaven. And I remember saying that I'm pretty sure that we're all going to still be here, and I'm pretty sure that the WWE will be putting on a pay-per-view tomorrow with their entire staff. If Shawn Michaels was still with the company, he'd probably not be there. But I was pretty sure that we were all going to be able to watch the show, and it would go on as planned. So, I had planned on playing It's the End of the World as We Know It as the opener. And I was just going to have, you know, an apocalyptic feel to the show. And like I said, you know, as fate would have it, we get this unfortunate bit of news, and I'm proud to say that I really feel like I have done a fantastic job with the show tonight, better than I could have imagined. You guys have been awesome tonight, you know, calling in, giving me your thoughts. It's been emotional for me all day, and it's, you know, it's still emotional for me to try and keep my composure and not break down on the air, because I am upset. And you know, for anybody that's listening to this and thinks, oh, well, I don't know why you're upset over some wrestler. Well, he was more than just a wrestler to me. He was my idol, and I love the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you know, I have a void now that's never going to be filled. And I am truly upset. I am truly grateful to everyone who tunes into this show, who listens on a weekly basis. I'm glad that I had the forum tonight to give you a little bit of closure and to let your voices be heard.
Well, like this network is slowly growing. Like, hell, our interview with Billy Gunn this past, 2 weeks ago on Wrestling News Live, that actually got sent to Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler actually sent me a message on Twitter saying, cool interview. And then he explained, because didn't you ask Billy about the quote where Dolph said that he and Mr. Perfect were his idols? Well, according to Ziggler, both Billy and Mr. Perfect were his idols. And he actually wanted to clarify that. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, like each week, each day, we get more listeners. So, and I think today's show has been one of the best unplugged show. And apparently, if this is the last show ever that's going to happen, because the world's going to explode with zombies running around, and I'm still upset, JD. I did not get my Batman mask.
I know, man. It's rough, dude. It's rough. So I want to say this. We're going to take one or two more calls, and then we're wrapping. We're getting out of here. So the phone number is 501-588-7957. Or if you're on Skype, just call Sunday Night Showdown. Or if you're in the chat and you want a toll-free call, use Google Voice. Just dial or hit the icon and follow the directions, and you'll get the call placed directly to you, and it'll connect to my Skype line. So those are the ways to reach the show. But like I said, one or two more calls. And we got to wrap this up. I hate to, but you know, it's, I don't know how much longer I can hold my composure, to be real honest.
Well, earlier people were asking, would WWE put a tribute to Randy Savage on tomorrow's pay per view? And I went over to Figure Four Weekly and the PW Insider, and apparently WWE officials have told the production team to make video packages that will air on Monday's Raw and Friday's SmackDown. Sure about Sunday, but definitely on Monday and Friday there will be video packages for Randy Savage.
Well, good. That's at least good news.
Exactly, but I believe we have a caller on the line, JJ.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
G'day, JJ. G'day, Crowley. This would be Mr. Nem.
Nem, what's on
good
your
morning.
Mind tonight, man?
Yeah, well, good afternoon in my land. Yeah, you're right. I've had a big 24 hours. Managed to finish the first finish recording the first podcast of What Would Fans Do, and then minutes later, I hear Randy Savage is gone. So it's been a very, very hard 24 hours, and it's exactly the same thing as what you were saying. You were saying, JJ, is that it's almost like the wrestling. It's probably not only me, not only you, but almost everyone in the wrestling community now feels that there's a void when it always happens when a legend passes, I guess. And if you have a top three of wrestling legends, he'll be one of those three, and I'd very, very sadly missed. I actually heard out from my co-host Zod. He told me minutes after it was posted online. So it is quite a massive, massive shock.
Yeah, it is. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, what can I say that I haven't said tonight? I mean, it's just, I feel hollow. Part of me does. You know.
Yeah.
I lost a hero today.
Mm. And believe it or not, I guess because you're also saying as well, like your favorite moment with Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And my, believe it or not, my favorite moment, and it's going to be very, very, very weird to say, but One of my favorite moments was when he lost the title at when he lost the WWF title at that time at WrestleMania 5. Because it was one of those challenges that even though I knew he lost the belt at that time, looking back on it, even though I knew he lost the belt somehow, some way, I knew he was going to get it back eventually, and eventually he did. Took him 3 years to do it, to WrestleMania 8 when he took on Nature Boy Ric Flair. But man, yeah, I think that's my that's the memory I'll have best is at WrestleMania 5.
You know what I remember most about that match, Nim? I remember the fact that Randy Savage was the heel going in. He was the champ. And the whole storyline, God, I can remember that like it was yesterday. The whole storyline, yeah. You know, the Mega Powers breaking up. And you had the Saturday night's main event where Liz got hurt and then Hogan carried her to the back. And then Savage lost the match and he saw that Hogan had carried her to the back and thought that he was putting the moves on Liz. And, you know, that caused the whole downfall of the Mega Powers, and you know, it led up to their match at WrestleMania 5, and I can remember watching that match. Savage was a beast. I mean, he was beating Hogan from pillar to post, and then obviously, you know, as the babyface, Hogan took all the brunt of the damage, and then in the end, you know, got a couple of moves in, dropped the leg, and walked away the champion. And I can remember that as being a precedent for how baby faces, you know, especially in the WWE with Hogan, react to challenges. We see that from John Cena these days.
Yeah.
And I remember Savage carrying him to a fantastic match.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's Hogan, I think, got, 3 minutes worth of moves in that match, and Savage did 15 minutes. Worth of beat down on Hulk Hogan. I think it's just, I think Savage just, exactly as you said, Savage carried Hogan in that match for at least the first 7/8 of it.
Well, you know,
and it's.
Like I said, Savage was the thoroughbred. He was the workhorse of that company. You know, make no bones about it. When you think about a guy that worked his ass off and did so much for the company as far as putting talent over or being a main event guy. That year that he was champion, first time, he was the workhorse. He was going out doing his thing and, you know, had a fantastic run. And, you know, for anybody to say that you don't think Savage is one of the top guys in the business, then you obviously don't know much about the business.
Definitely. I'll definitely second that opinion.
So is there anything further? I know you're all set for your debut tomorrow.
Yep, all set. I just need. Well, actually, got to talk to you afterwards. Got to get a couple of extra things off you. But apart from that, man, I don't think I've got anything else to say. Nothing really much else to think about. But I do actually want to say about Randy Savage is that which I'll actually say on my podcast tomorrow. Let's not be sad for what we've lost. Let's be happy for what he's given us, and let's be happy for how we remember him. So, rest in peace, Randy Savage. You have done us proud. You've done the world of professional wrestling proud, and thank you very much. And that's all you can say. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Nim.
You're right, man.
All right, Crelly. I think it's time we get out of here, man. You got anything final to say?
Not really. I mean, TNA actually today at their house show did a 10-bell salute for the Macho Man, which I think is a fantastic sign of respect from them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have some kind of tribute on their show next week, even though it's pre-taped. They might just put in a video package, but I'm not really sure what can be said. What can be said already? I mean, it's a sad day when wrestling loses a legend, loses a character, losing an all-around entertainer like the Macho Man Randy Savage. So, I don't know, man. It's just a bad day, but like Nem said, let's be thankful for him being around, for him being on TV, if it wasn't for him, most of us wouldn't be wrestling fans. And let's just look back at what a career he had, what influence he had, and once he's gone, I think he'll always be around. And let's hope that the WWE shows some respect and have a Timber salute at the pay-per-view on Sunday night.
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I look forward to seeing some sort of tribute to the Macho Man Randy Savage on WWE programming this week. I'd like to think that there's going to be one on Sunday. Just tune in and find out. I mean, I'll be doing live pay-per-view coverage right here on the network starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time with Sunday Night Showdown. Obviously, the full crew, Internet Dave, Mark the Shark DiCarlo. I think the Trey Dog is going to be stopping by. Myself, unfortunately, Boom Boom might be in the house later on, but she won't be to initially start. So definitely check in with us on Sunday for live pay-per-view coverage. Even if you get the pay-per-view, just turn the sound down and listen to us, because you're going to get a lot of information and you're probably going to have a lot better commentary. So on that note, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. You have no idea how much it means to me that you guys chimed in and gave me your thoughts. For those that I didn't hear from tonight, thank you for being here. You know, to anyone who's going to listen to this on the archive, wish you were here. Wish you would have been here live. But I appreciate the fact that you're listening to this show. And when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, I feel that I've given the Macho Man Randy Savage a fantastic tribute. I wish I could have given one better. But this is all I got for tonight. On behalf of the rest of the SNS Radio Network, I want to say that if this does find its way to the Poffo family, to Lanny, I want to say, man, I'm sorry that you lost your brother. He meant a lot to us, dude. He really did. We loved him. And we love what your family contributed to this business. So on behalf of the foreign kid, Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com, and on behalf of the sensational Sean, on behalf of Boom Boom, on behalf of Trey, and on behalf of all of you guys in the chat tonight, Randy, we love you. We're going to miss you. And someday, man, we'll see you again. But with that said, guys, I am I'm Mr. Money on the mic, JJ Sexay, and you've just been unplugged.
I whisper in your ear the words you wanna hear. You feel the wind in every mind you. It happens every time you stop and close your eyes. You can't deny what lives inside you. Well, I know. Deep inside your soul knows.
Unplugged with JJ6A is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other wrestling and or entertainment companies, and is the exclusive property of the SNS Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. I've just been informed that JJ Sexy has left the building.